As you will recall, we're busy processing 276 bills. Now, since the last meeting, the chairs and the whippery and so on have been meeting, or our whippery, the ANC's whippery, and so at least I've got an idea what is happening in Parliament now. Basically, the plan is that all 76 bills that want to be processed have to be finished by the end of this month, the end of February. There's 26 of them in Parliament, so you can't do all 26 on the last day. So I imagine towards the end of February there's going to be a lot of debates, and if we are able to process our bills, they will be part of that. So that's just your timeline. Morning. What I want to do is, let me first say on the waste bill, I met last night with the department to go through what they've done. And it became very clear to me that as far as the waste bill is concerned, that the chances of us dealing with that are very slim. The big problem is that although they've gone far away in dealing with it, in fact they met with the industry and so on, and they agreed on a definition, but the definition for me is completely unacceptable because it's a definition that basically makes industry decide when something is waste. And obviously that's why industry is happy with it. So we've taken a different approach. I said to them, do you know what all the waste is that you want to declare as waste? They said yes. I said, well, why don't you put it in a list? We put it in a list and we put it in a bottle, then we don't have to create a definition to decide what is waste. The following things will be waste. We'll stop. And then the clause that the minister can declare further waste. So they're now going to look at that and they're going to do that work. Secondly, and more importantly, if you remember, the big problem was why they're creating this agency, which we've now only made an implementation agency. Here's the problem with the levy issue. You'll remember that they gave private citizens the right to raise a levy, which clearly is unconstitutional. I don't know, no one picked up, but so good. And the whole idea of creating this agency is so that the agency then is the one that deals with the levies and so on, which is a government structure as part of the department. But the problem is they don't have it in the legislation at all. They don't deal with how they're going to deal with it. I mean, firstly, it has to be part of the money book. They don't have Federal on board on this in the sense that Susie has a money bill already and so on. Then, even if we have a money bill and we know who's going to collect it, Treasury or us, they don't have what procedure will exist for them, of course, to get the money back into that vehicle that we create, say, for tires, that vehicle, to then be able to use that money to get rid of tires. All those things are not in the bill. And, I mean, obviously we can't pass the bill as those have those pictures. So I told them to go back and do the work. I mean, if they can get it done, but I can't see them getting it done quickly. Oh, yes, the other thing was, if we have that mechanism in the bill and we created whatever it is they essentially agree on, then what happens to the waste stream vehicle that's been created already? It's not been created this way. So how do you get it under this structure? And you'll have to create clauses to allow that. So you can see there's a whole lot of very complicated and intricate things that have to be done on this waste bill. If they do the definition and we find an acceptable definition, then maybe we can at least pass that. But at the moment, I think there's going to be problems with those processes. So that's just a little snapshot of it. I think there's more to it than just that. But I think you understand that those complicated issues have to be resolved. So in the next 2 days at least, we won't be processing waste bill. We'll just be dealing with MLA 3. Anyone have any issues around that? Anyone know? happy to leave it like and let them do their work and so on. We'll see. We'll assess it later on. Now, with NEMLA 3 and the water bill, obviously we today and tomorrow are going to finalize whatever it is we want to do to take your caucuses. We've reached that stage where we've gone through all the, jointly with the other committees, and all the principles have agreed to. I think there's some technical things we need to just sort out. So we'll go through, read through all that there. But before we get there, I unfortunately have to mention to you that as Ms. Wenger said on last Wednesday or Thursday, the Department of Mineral Resources continues undermining the two committees. But yesterday it came to my attention that behind our backs, without the two chippers knowing about it, and these bills are now in Parliament, and therefore the preserve of Parliament to work on these matters, and Parliament decide what to do with them. Behind our backs, they've gone to the state law advisors to ask for opinions, and God knows what, I don't know. Now, I've expressed the view that that is not an instruction of the two committees, and as far as we're concerned, we distance ourselves from those. I also asked the DG of Minerals, although no one can find him anywhere, that we want in writing to this committee why, despite everything Ms. Bakani said in last Wednesday or Thursday, that we must stop undermining the processes. Otherwise, we stop these processes. It's not us. I mean, we don't want this agreement. This agreement was reached between them. They undermine Parliament. They don't agree that the Parliament's legislation of 208 must be implemented. So we try to accommodate them with the other committee, the DMR committee. And yet there's still processes of seriously undermining this committee. So I don't give any credence to those processes, neither does Ms. Bakani. I spoke to her this morning. In fact, she's, let me just say, she'll deal with it. But the point is, I've asked them, I want a letter on how they're explaining to this committee why a department decides that it's going to undermine the processes of Parliament. And that is an unfortunate situation that has developed. As far as our minister and our deed is concerned, we know what we're doing, and we've agreed that these are the processes with the other committee, and we must continue with what we do. Ms. Suena.
Thank you, Chair. Without labouring as to what you've said, I should hold your sentiment in mind. And it was very imminent at the last meeting that we have had that the department was deliberately undermining the processes that we were doing, right on the outset of the proceedings that we have embarked on. The guidelines as to how we're going to move forward and what we've agreed on were very, very clearly set out. And they have gone behind the committee's back and most of the intellectual fact. And I think that it should not just be left there, Chair. I think it should be actually taken further. And they owe this committee, the Joint Committee, actually an apology and an explanation. Why did they do what they did? We can't just let it go by. Because this is how they wish to operate, and we cannot continue our deliberations knowing fully well that we cannot pursue this partner, because we don't know what we can expect. The great ones still do things, and we cannot accept the check.
I did realize that at this last meeting. The manner in which
you spoke on it.
Yes, I spoke on it, and basically said, we are not going to tolerate this. They must tell us exactly what do they want. Because we are politicians, we are driving this bill. Now they want to drive us. We can't be driven by them. I mean, that committee, it wants us to do what they wish they want us to do. We can't do it like that. But I should think we must find a way when we meet these two committees and call both departments before us so that we can deal with that attitude.
Now once we get the letter from them, then we can decide what we want to do, okay? All right, well, that's the end of that story. I think everyone agrees that when we entered into this, particularly this committee wanted to stick to the parliamentary bills that were originally passed in 2008, which these processes have completely undermined. We then, as a committee, across party lines, agreed on what basis will we make this agreement workable? The issues of intervention and how these bills will be, or this agreement will be amended in the future as part of that agreement that we struck. And that is what, unfortunately, DMR, for some unknown reason, although I'm told that their ministers, well, I've been in meetings where they've been present, and I know that our minister says that there's been agreements on all these things. So I'm not fully understanding what is happening, but we're not going to give credence to these processes of undermining of Parliament. So that's simply that. All right, so what we're going to do today is go through, just read through the bill. If there are any changes and amendments, we'll make them. If we're happy at the end of the day with everything that's there, then clearly we won't have further meetings this week. If we want any further amendments to be made, then the department, depending on how late we finish them, the department either do them today, we can still finish it today, or then finalize it tomorrow. But by the next 2 days, we will have a final draft there. Just remind me, there's one further issue I thought of this morning in the shower that I think we're not covered at all. It's a good place to take. It just struck me that there's one thing, it's on the appeal stuff. That if our minister were to take over the power, what are we doing about the appeal? Because usually if DMR takes the decision, the appeal comes to us. What will happen if a case happens where, and then I don't answer now, what happens in a case where the decision is then taken by our minister? Then we have to create an appeal procedure which doesn't exist. Okay? Just hold on to that. That's the issue I wanted to raise. But all the other issues we've covered. Is everyone happy with that procedure? So we try and finalize today, if not today, tomorrow. And then we'll have bills that you can take to your corporate, or a bill to take. Of course, also the water one. Now, I looked at the water one. There's still problems with it. I don't know if people have fixed it up. But there's still references to mineral authorization or something, which is a terminology no one understands. It's just what it is. But we will go through that today as well to finalize it. Okay. Now, which paper documents are we looking at? Got this one? All right. Number?
It's number one, check. The National Environmental Laws, Management Laws Amendment Bill.
Okay. Just tell me what colors you got.
Chair, we have pink and we have blue. All the other...
You have the DA and you have the new party, the Equal Opportunity Party. What's the new Equal Rights Party? Okay.
So just pink.
No black, I see no green, I see no gold.
Well, text in black, the background in white, check. We're trying to include the other colors.
You're going to say what the color is wrong. Okay. Pink are...
She was 29th of November, 2013 is wrong.
And then blue is the amendments you made since the last meeting.
Yeah. In fact, the pink should be 29/01/14 since our last meeting with DMR, not 29/11, my apologies.
All right, so everyone ready? You can start reading. To amend the National Environmental Management Act 1989, so to amend certain definitions and to define certain words and expressions, to provide for the review of environmental management instruments, to provide for minimum information requirements to be included under environmental management instruments, to provide for the minister responsible for mineral resources to be competent authority for environmental matters insofar as they relate to prospecting, exploration, mining or production of mineral and petroleum resources, to instruct the minister to take an environmental decision insofar as it relates to prospecting, exploration, mining or production, instead of the minister responsible under certain circumstances, to clarify the provisions relating to integrated environmental authorizations, to strengthen the financial provisions in the Act, to provide for consultation with state departments, I'm not sure if you need that, but okay. To provide for the management of residue stockpiles and residue deposits, to empower the Director General of the Department of Swans and Resources to issue Section 28 directives insofar as the related prospecting, exploration, mining or production, to empower the Minister responsible for mineral resources to designate environmental mineral resources. Is it plural? Resources. Inspectors, yeah. Take out the S, first S, within the Department responsible for mineral resources for compliance, comma, monitoring and enforcement of provisions insofar as they relate to respecting exploration, mining or production. To provide the Minister with the power to direct environmental management sector to perform compliance, comma, monitoring and enforcement duties instead of mineral resources, take out the S, inspected under certain circumstances. To empower the provincial head of department to delegate a function entrusted to him or her under the Act. I understand that provincial head of department is defined in this Act. Meaning, of course, your environmental provincial head of department. In NEMA. To provide for the suspension of a decision on receipt of an appeal. To provide for appeals against directives. To further provide for the power of the Minister to make regulations, to provide for consultation in the event that an Act of Parliament or regulation are amended that impact on the agreement, to provide for criteria for condemnation applications in the case of appeals that relates to prospecting, exploration, mining or production. National Environmental Management Act, Great Act 208, says to insert certain definitions to empower the Minister to prohibit or restrict waste management activities in specified geographical areas, to empower the Minister responsible for mineral resources to be the licensing authority, to issue waste management licenses insofar as relates to prospecting, exploration, mining or production activities of mineral and petroleum resources, to empower the Minister responsible for mineral resources to delegate functions entrusted to him or her under this Act. And then lastly, National Environmental Management Amendment Act of 2008 serves to provide for transitional arrangements to amend the commencement provisions and to delete certain obsolete provisions and to provide for matters connected there with. Right. Anyone have any problems except those little amendments with the long title?
Chair, the compliance monitoring is actually one word. Because the compliance and compliance monitoring is two separate things. And compliance is dealt with under Chapter 5, so there shouldn't be a connection between compliance and monitoring.
Just reads funny otherwise, but if you say it one word, then compliance, monitoring, and enforcement. Alright, so the comma doesn't have to be there. Alright, everyone happy with the long title?
Okay.
Be enacted by Parliament of the Republic of South Africa as follows. Amendment of Section 1 of Act 107 of 19 as amended by Section 1 of Act 57 of 202, Section 1 of Act 46 of 203, Section 1 of Act 8 of 204, Section 1 of Act 62 of 208, Section 4 of Act 14 of 209, and Section 1 of Act 30 of 2030. It must be said that this definition clause has been amended a hell of a lot. Section 1 of the National Environmental Management Act of 98 is hereby amended under substitution of the definition of applicant of the following definition. Applicant means a person who has submitted an application for environmental authorization to the competent authority and has paid the prescribed fee. So all the other stuff is taken out. Anyone have a problem with that? By the deletion of the definition community, now you remember GMR tried to put a very narrow definition in here. We've said they must take it out. The department then went to look at wherever the word community is used, and it's found they don't really have need a definition, as we said in the meeting. Because if you read the context of where community is, it's very clear what is meant by community. So you don't need a definition for it, so they're now removing it completely. Any problems? By the substitution for the definition of environmental management, the sector of the following definition, environmental management sector means a person designated as an environmental maintenance inspector in terms of section 31B, 31BA, or 31C. Okay? That's the technical. By the insertion after the definition of environmental management program or the following definition, environmental mineral resources inspector means a person designated by environmental mineral resources inspector in terms of section 31BB. Let me get the two types. Management, instead of management, you put my resources. Okay. Anyone, that's fine? Fine, both of them? Fine, it seems like it. By the deletion of the definition of exploration area, remember we taking out the area issue and we're dealing with activities rather. Remember, that's a new approach we're taking to try and narrow the scope of a constitutional challenge. Instead of saying all environmental issues in the whole mining area, we're trying to limit it to environmental issues related to certain activities in that mining area, which slightly narrows the scope from the very broad scope that was there originally. By the insertion after the definition of exploration area of the following definition, remember those, we wanted all those financial provisions to be dealt with, the closing of mines and all that stuff, remember. So this is what they've done. Financial provision means insurance, bank guarantee, trust fund, all cash that Africa for an environmental authorization must provide in terms of this act, guaranteeing the availability of sufficient funds to undertake the rehabilitation of the adverse environmental impacts of the listed or specified activities, decommissioning and closure of the operations, remediation of latent and or residual environmental impacts which become known in the future, or removal of building structures and or objects. I was thinking there, Hisham, where we shouldn't, we shouldn't have a more general clause there, generic after the D, to say something like any other kind of activity which may flow from the decommissioning. You know, I'm just thinking, otherwise you can only use the money for that. If something else were to arise other than what's right here, there's no cover for us. That they then have to pay, that means we fall on the state. So I think with a general, if you guys can just draft something, it needs to obviously be directly related to what we're doing. We don't want it too broad, but at least it should be able to capture if it's something that's not covered in the first four. Everyone happy with that? You want to draft something there for us? By the deletion of the definition of mining, it's the same problem we had. By the substitution of the definition of minister, now I had problems with this, there's now changed it. They wrote all this other stuff, but I felt that if you have a definition of minister, and for one aspect you make another minister competent authority somewhere in the act, you don't have to go into the definition to say that our minister is not minister of that, because you made competent authority. In any case, there is an intervention tool. So I said that they must just go back to the minister's, the definition of minister is the minister responsible for environmental affairs or so. You don't say, you know, only the president really tells you what your mandate is, ministry. So it's all those environmental issues. So the minister of environment remains the minister of environment, even if the competent authority on some mining issues. Ah, someone from mining is here. I want to talk to you, sir. Don't leave without me talking to you. Thank you. All right, so let's fix that up. Everyone happy with that? It seems to be much easier, much more correct like this. By the substitution for the definition of Minister of Minerals and Energy of the following definition, the Minister of Responsible Mineral Resources means the Minister responsible for implementation of environmental matters relating to prospecting, exploration, mining, or production. Now, I asked the department there, why don't we just say the minister data means the minister who's been made competent authority for mining data. But they tell me that competent authority only refers to the authorization And the powers we've given in this legislation is slightly wider than common authority. So that is why we list for the implementation of environmental relating to prospecting, exploration, mining or production. Even that may be problematic. Implementation part. All right, we'll come back to this one, okay? My kind of gut feeling was that as we, and the top and the other minister took this out, maybe it was good here as well. But let's flag that. We'll come back to that one and I can think about it a bit. Is that okay? I will flag it. By the deletion of the definition of production area, okay, that is fine, we've already dealt with that. All right, anything in section one that is missing or we need or... All right, so everything there is fine except that we drop one further clause us, and the catch all clause, and we'll come back to the clause that the definition has been flagged. Amendment of Section 24 of Act 107 of 98 is substituted by Section 2 of Act 8 of 204, Section 2 of Act 62 of 208, and Section 5 of Act 30 of 2013. Section 24 of the National Environmental Management Act of 98 is hereby amended by the substitution of subsection B for paragraph 6, Roman 6 of the following subparagraph, the management and control of residue stockpiles and deposits. Okay. Obviously, we've taken out the areas. We deal with activities. So it's the stockpiles we deal with, so they take out the area. Everyone okay? Okay. By the substitution in subsection 5BA of the following subsection, DA, not DA, BA, laying down the procedure to be followed for the preparation, evaluation, adoption, and review of prescribed environmental management instruments, including, then all that stuff is there already, so we're not amending any of that. We're taking out the all, and we're putting in minimum information requirements. Remember, Carla explained last time why she wants to add this, and we all agree, and then the rest of it remains the same. It's just that one addition. Okay, everyone happy? Happy. Three. Amendment of subsection 24C of Act 107 of 98 inserted by section 3 of Act 8 of 204, substituted by section 3 of Act 62 of 208, and amended by section 6 of Act 30 of 2013. Section 24C of the National Environmental Management Act is hereby amended by the substitution for subsection 2A of the following subsection. The minister responsible for mineral resources must be identified as the competent authority in terms of subsection 1, where the list of activity is or is directly related to prospecting or exploration of a mineral or petroleum resource, or extraction and primary processing of a mineral or petroleum resource. Now, that is why they say that this to use competent authority is too narrow, of course, in the act. It goes broader than just that is stated there. Is that correct, Mr. Alana? It really only goes wider as far as the inspectors are concerned, isn't it? Or does it go wider even than the competent authority to make the environmental authorization decision? And the inspectors, is there anything else that they do? The minister will do, the of minerals?
Chair, I can't recall whether I explained it or not the last time, there's content authorities that relate to the issuing of the environmental authorization, but in terms of NEMA and the environmental authorizations, the provinces, the national authority, and now DMR will be competent authorities, but in terms of the structure...
So of other acts?
Yeah, specific environmental
acts.
There are other authorities that also issue authorization, but are not...
But here we are amending each act on its own, aren't we? So if we amend this act, 107 of 98, then it's only that act that we are amending for now in this session.
It's 24C3.
asking you this question because I'm thinking back to that thing I flagged, whether we need to have that whole explanation of the minerals, because the problem is that we are making a whole lot of pieces of legislation, and each one of them individually clearly you deal with the Minister of Mineral Resources. Not a generic dealing with it, is it? Okay, well let's think about, I mean, I'll come back to that flagging. But if I'm asking this question, it's linked to that. Amendment of Section 24C, that I don't know if we've done that, eh? And then B, whenever a decision on application for environmental authorization is not made within the time frames applicable to that process, the applicant may apply to the Minister to facilitate the process of taking a decision by the Minister of Mineral Resources, or where appropriate to take that decision. Remember, that's the whole procedure that follows now that we've explained. You first do a whole lot of stuff, and if all that fails, then only the decision. So that's why it has to be described like this. The applicant must notify the Minister responsible for mineral resources in writing of the intention to exercise the option in paragraph A at least 30 days prior to the exercising of such option. That's the same we did in the other NEMA legislation. The application contemplated in A must at least contain all documents submitted to the Minister responsible for mineral resources in order to enable the Minister to take a decision. Before taking a decision contemplated in paragraph A, the Minister must request the Minister responsible for mineral resources to provide him with a report in a specified time period, the status and causes of delay of the application, and whether the Minister will be able to take the decision within a specified time period. After having received the report referred to in paragraph D, or in the event that no response or no satisfactory response or cooperation is received from the Minister responsible for mineral resources within a specified time frame period, the Minister has the KCB, must be appropriate to take a decision on such other steps the Minister may be necessary with. Within a reasonable time period. The Minister must simultaneously with the submission of the annual report contemplating subsequent allowed the Public Finance Act of 1999 submit a report to Parliament setting out the details regarding the exercise of power referred to in subsection E during previous financial year. That seems to now capture nicely what we want, without being overly intrusive. Everyone happy? Fine. 4, paragraph 4, amendment of section 24L of Act 107/98 as inserted by section 8 of Act 62 of 208. Section 24L of the National Environmental Management Act 98 is hereby amended by the substitution for subsection 1 of the following subsection. A competent authority empowered under chapter 5 to issue an environmental authorization and any other authority empowered under under CIMA may agree to issue an integrated environmental authorization. Remember, this is the clause that will now allow you to get joint authorizations. So there's a water one, there's an environment one, and there's a mining one. This will allow the competent authority or any other authority in a CIMA, now for the first time ever, to be able to do them jointly. Okay. Everyone happy with that? And then B, by the deletion of the reference of paragraph B in the sentence preceding paragraph A in subsection 2, I don't know what that is, but it's been deleted. You happy? You happy it's deleted or you don't know what it is? Okay. Amendment of section 34N of Act 107 of 98 is inserted by section 8 of Act 62 of 208. Clause 5. Section 24N of the National Environmental Management Act 98 is hereby amended by the substitution for subsection 1A of the following subsection. Where environmental impact assessment has been identified as an environmental issue to be utilized in forming an application. In informing an application. Is that the right word? In informing an application for environmental authorization? Eh? Be utilized to inform. That's funny. What are we trying to say here? Where environmental impact has been identified as the instrument to utilize to assess an application for environmental authorization. Huh?
us informing him that the word for him is the Lord.
To be utilized for an application. Does that make more sense? Sounds a bit better to me. But is it an assessment? I don't think it's an assessment. When environmental impact assessment has been identified as the instrument to be used in an application for an environmental organization, or for an application for an environmental organization, as the basis for, okay. An application for environmental authorization. Are you happy with that? Hisham, is that what you're trying to say? Okay. Just a bit simple English. You know, English is my second name, so. And yes, Mr. Spasana's third language. Zero language. Okay, so where an environmental impact assessment has been identified as an environmental impact to be utilized as the basis for a decision on an application for environmental authorization, the minister responsible for mineral resources and MSC or identified competent authority must require the submission of an environmental management program before deciding an application for environmental authorization. Is there anyone broader than an MSC? An identified competent authority? Is there, are we given then also the right to make environmental authorizations from the provinces? So it must be public entities. We're saying identified competent authority. Which act do we give, other than a level of government, do we give it the power to make a decision on a EIA? So that doesn't make sense there then. So take out. Okay. Mr. Skosana, I see you as the youngest here of the ANC. Can I impose on you to go and be voting for the in another committee with you? This is voting on arts and culture and stuff. And they've asked, I must send someone there. I'm sorry, it's... It's not going to be long. I need him in my meeting. Just vote and he comes back. If it gets too long there, then coming back there, just let him vote on their own. Alright, so take out or identify competent authorities with the ESO beyond government, okay? So there are two changes there. You guys will fix that. Everyone happy with that? Okay. Substitution in subsection 3 of paragraph B of the following paragraph B contain measures regulating responsibilities for any environmental damage, pollution, pumping, and treatment of extraneous water or ecological degradation which may occur inside and outside the boundaries of the operations in question. And it's all just a consequential amendment, takes out all the area stuff, okay? By the deletion of subsection 4, whatever subsection 4 is, it's now deleted. Okay? Okay? By the substitution in subsection 7c for subparagraph 2 in the following subparagraph, the word reconnaissance has just been removed. Because remember, we only have prospecting, mining, exploration, production. That's the areas that are given to the minister, not reconnaissance, whatever reconnaissance may mean. I thought more army term of some sort. Everyone happy with that? E, by the substitution subsection 7 for paragraph F of the following paragraph, He is responsible for any environmental damage, pollution, pumping and treatment of extraneous water or ecological degradation as a result of his or her operations to which such right, permit or environmental authorization relates. Again, the areas that have been taken out. Happy? Happy. And then, notwithstanding the Companies Act of 208 or the Close Corporation Act, the directors of a company or members of a close corporation are jointly and severally liable for any unacceptable negative impact on the environment. Unacceptable negative impact. On the environment. I wonder if that shouldn't be substantial negative impact on the environment, including damage, degradation, or pollution advertently or inadvertently caused by the company or close corporation which they represent. The word unacceptable is just, it's so loose, and I'm not sure that in law, in this context, it's been given much credence. I mean, you use unacceptable because you don't want any negative impact, isn't it? So would substantial be better?
I take your point about the unacceptable, but then the difficulty with substantial usually is burden of proof attached to that, and I think we had a problem previously in terms of similar words.
But unacceptable will also be a burden of proof, whatever adjective you use.
Yeah.
But all I'm trying to say is I'd rather use an adjective that I'm more familiar, I think the courts are more familiar with, than using a word like unacceptable negative impact. It's just,
I think we'll think about chair, but maybe for now the solution might be to just delete the unacceptable and just leave the negative impact. It's clearer in terms of.
Yeah, I suppose you can do it because, I mean, ultimately, if they do anything that has a negative impact, then they should be responsible for it. Either negligible. The issue then, alright, let's take it off. For any negative impact on the environment, including damage. So negative is a broader term that includes those phrases you've got there, damage, degradation, or pollution. Yeah, then you must have a comma after pollution. So damage, degradation, or pollution, advertent or inadvertently caused by the company or perspiration which they represent. Yeah. That seems to be nice, happy. Word acceptable taken up. Okay. 13th Amendment of Section 24O of Act 10798 is inserted by Section 8 of Act 62 of 208 and amended by Section 11 of Act 30 of 2 of 2013. Section 24O of the National Environment Management Act 98 is hereby amended by the insertion of the subsection 1 that allows the following subsection: the ability of the applicant to comply with the prescribed financial provision. That seems to make sense. Everyone happy? B, by the substitution of subsection 2 and 4 of the following subsection, the minister responsible for mineral resources and MSC identified competent authority, or an environmental assessment practitioner must consult with every state department that administers law related to a matter affecting the environment when such minister, MSC, minister responsible minister for mineral resources or identified authority out, considers an application for an environmental authorization. So that's just your consultation course, okay? Must consult with every state department. And as we've said, only levels of government at this stage administer environmental law. There's no power given to entities. Okay. Yes, sir.
In the amendment of Section 24, we removed the identified competent authority.
Yeah.
But it's going to remain under this subsection.
No, it's removed.
Is it removed? Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
As I read it, I just said remove. Because they indicated to us that there aren't any authorities like that. Where the matter relates to prospecting, exploration, mining or production, the request for comment must be submitted by registered mail to the Director General of the State Department contemplated. Now that's what we want to know. Remember, people have raised the problem that we've now reduced the consultation time. And we know how departments work. You send a request to them. The clerk grade 15 receives it. Passes it to the clerk grade 14. 14 passes to 13. 13 passes to 10. 10 passes to 9. Until you get to the minister, which is about 1 month later. We're only giving 1 month for comment. So by that time it's over. So we're wanting by registered mail something that you can get a paper trail and straight to the DG, not to the car grade 14 or 15, okay? So we've now that put that clause in for us. Yes, sir. Okay. Just so put it in there. Okay. The State Department consulted in terms of subsection 2 must submit comment within, and this is a 30 days now, the 40 days being reduced to 30 days from the date in which the minister Responsible Mineral Resources, MSC, and then take up competent authority, or an environmental assessment practitioner request such State Department in writing to submit comments. Okay? And by the deletion of such section. This practitioner thing, just explain to me where do we put a duty on an environmental practitioner to ask for submissions from a department?
Chair, my recollection is that if they submit an application, an environmental impact assessment application, they need to consult a certain other departments over and above our departments. So they need to provide us...
They have to do that.
Yes, and they need to provide us proof that they actually did so.
I didn't think that. I thought if you apply for an EIA, that department of it, but you said they must then consult a certain department before they hand the EIA or after.
No, it's normally during the process.
During the process.
Yeah, because the other state department that impacted becomes an interested and affected party.
Yeah. Okay. Can I answer that? I just realized that's all. Okay.
No, Chief, just to clarify, the applicant appoints an environmental practitioner to conduct the assessment process, and part of the assessment process is the consultant. It's the job of the government department to assess the work of the environmental practitioner.
Okay. But if that is so, in that 2A, shouldn't we then either list all those people, or shouldn't we refer it back to sub 2, the request for comment by whom? The request by whom? Where the matter relates to prospecting, the request for comment must be submitted to by registered mail to the Director General. Yeah, request in, contemplated in 2. Contemplated in 2. Okay. So we're happy with that, and then we'll add the provincial head as well in that clause. I think it makes it clearer now. Everyone happy? Thank you. The State Department consulted... The iced tea. Is this my tea?
Yes, sir.
This is ice cold. Is it ice cold tea?
Yes,
sir. So it's hot at some stage. The State Department consulted in terms of subjects and 2 must submit comments within 30 days from the date when he's the minister, blah, blah, blah. Okay, we've done that one. And then C, by the deletion of subsections 4 and 5. Okay? Okay. Amendment of section 24P, or like 107 or 89, as inserted by section 8 of Act 62 of 208. Section 24B of the National Environmental Management Act 89 is hereby amended by the substitution for subsection 1 of the following subsection: an applicant for environmental authorization relating to prospecting, exploration, mining or production, and before the Minister responsible for mineral resources issues the environmental authorization, determine the financial provision for the rehabilitation or management of the negative environmental impacts in a prescribed manner. Why did we take out and closure? I would have thought closure is very important.
Chair, I'm just asking Advocate Gallup to check the reason for that, but I think there is another provision for closure. On page 14.
MDR, why are we taking out closure? I found in this act, if anything's taken out by your MR, so I can just ask you instead of them.
Chair, maybe if I can contribute. The reason is that if you limit it to closure, there's usually other latent environmental impacts that surface later or beyond closure. So there is also a consideration for latent environmental impacts in current practice.
But that doesn't seem to be a good reason to remove it yet, because it says rehabilitation or management. Now, if closure doesn't fall under rehabilitation and management, it means you're now leaving it out here. That means that therefore it will not be applicable here. And that can only be true if we've got a similar clause for closure somewhere else. An applicant for environmental authorization relating to da-da-da must, before the minister da-da-da, issues the environmental authorization, determine the financial provision for... Now if you take out closure, then the minister then does not have the power to decide the financial provisions for closure. That's the effect of it. Only for rehabilitation and management, but not closure. And closure is the big problem. All the hazard mine drainage problems we have is because of closure.
But there is somewhere reference ourselves related to issuing of closure certificate. It laws aligned to the NPRPA. Since the issue of closure certificate is done in terms of...
Yeah, but you guys must then find it, because the issue is not whether there's another clause that deals with closure. The issue is there another clause that gives your minister, the minister of DMR, the power to determine the financials, the amount of money you want them to guarantee for closure? That's one of the... I mean, I know closure is dealt with somewhere else. But here is a clause that will give your minister the power to say how much money they must set aside for... You're talking loudly, yes, I'm assuming.
There is a clause 24R that deals with closure in the bill. But Chair, I think you're correct. We must just make sure that if we insert... closure here, it's not...
delete closure.
No, but if we leave closure in it doesn't limit what DMR was saying, the latent impact.
If you look at your clause on financial provision and the definition.
Correct.
There are four clauses, there are four things there that you can use that money for. One of them is latent defect, I think the third one. Yeah. So the problem is, if you take out closure here, in fact, if anything, see that definition of, do we use the word financial provision, or do we mean, what word do we use? Financial provision, yeah. Financial provision means the insurance, bank guarantee, trust fund, or capital applicants must provide in terms of that to undertake rehabilitation, decommissioning, remediation, removal. Is decommissioning closure? So why
closure is defined in the MPRDA when the minister...
So why under the definition of financial provision have we not made provision for closure? I've just read the board to you. I'm saying under the... decommissioning and closure. Okay, alright. Okay. So we've covered it there. So maybe you don't need anything after financial provision. You can delete everything after financial, except in a prescribed manner. Because rehabilitation, management, closure, and that, isn't that covered under the word financial provision? See, you've got a definition of financial provision that describes all that stuff. If I want to re-explain what financial provision, you then get a contradiction. So you take out, after financial provision, you take out four, you take out everything up to in a prescribed manner. So you say a financial provision in a prescribed manner. DMR, you happy with that? You see what we're doing? Because you've got all this under the definition of financial provision. It deals with all four things you can do. Therefore, you don't need to describe it in this sense. You happy?
Mm-hmm.
Happy. Okay. So that was the MR, they say happy, and then they go find out action. So. I'm not saying you, I'm saying DMR, remember? Alright. So that is Kira. In fact, I think you must, Linda, when we finish with this process, I think you must go carefully through these amendments again and see where you use the word financial, you use it a lot in there, that we don't do, repeat the same thing as we've done here. Okay, so you must clean it up once again, okay? Consequential amendment. Check for other consequential. Okay. You want happy? Happy. By the insertion of the subsection 1 of the following subsection, the Minister of Mineral Resources, or the MSC, must ensure that the financial provision determined in subsection 1 is made before issuing the environmental authorization where applicable. An applicant, in one, it's an applicant, one relating to that, must before the Minister of is it right that the applicant determines in the previous clause? That seems wrong. Not determined that the applicant must comply with whatever financial provision is determined. Isn't that what we want to say? Well, in the next clause, it says the Minister of Mineral Da-da-da must ensure that the financial provision determined in subsection 1 is made before issuing the environmental authorization where applicable. Huh? Yeah, they must make whatever or comply. So this has to be reworded, eh? So subsection 1 has to be completely reworded, and it mustn't be the applicant determines. The minister has to determine, the applicant must comply with the determination made by. And then maybe for 1A must be before 1A.
At a time, an activity that special is not here, but what happens during the application process we prescribe by regulations how do you determine your financial provision, provisioning for this derivation. And you will see we have an A and a B. You first determine it, and thereafter you must actually make the provision. But it is
you the applicant is determined
based on the regulations where we set out the criteria. And
it's like a wolf. You tell them they must guard sheep.
Okay, I think if you think of the lot, then
no, but there's no logic to it. I mean, how do you say to a mine boss who is if you can get away with pollution, they get away with pollution. You say to them, now please go determine how much you must put away so that we can get money from you later. How would that work?
Yeah, and I'm seeking under correction here. Maybe our colleagues from DMR would be able to assist. But the issue is, if there's a mining operation, there's certain impacts associated with that, and there's different types of mining, open cut mining, underground mining. So with each type of mining, there's a different remediation regime that you would look at. So the consequences of rehabilitating that negative impact on the environment will have different impacts in different scenarios. So the question is, if we set out the criteria, say for an open cut mining, if you take out X amount of soil from the ground and you will need to remediate, if you need to put back the X amount of soil, you will need X amount of rain. So that's the logic that I'm
getting. That's fine. You get a quote, you see how much it's going to cost. But that won't be the legal requirement we give to mine owners to say that that's our... I mean, surely there must be a process somewhere that we agree with that amount or not agree with that amount. Because, I mean, why do we have a provision then for financial money to be put aside? If there's not a way that we're going to check it and say that this is what you must put aside. But no problem if they have to look at how much it's going to cost them. But that's something different from determining the amount.
Chair, my sense is that your suggested amendments cover both. So you would say the applicant must comply with the financial provision determined in a prescribed manner, and that covers all scenarios.
And then this determine that comes out.
You replace determine with comply with. And
you're going to reword that for us.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Everyone happy with that? Reword it, and they'll come back just to get. Doesn't capture the exact meaning that they want. By the substitution for subsection 3 of the following subsection, every holder must annually assess his or her environmental liability in a prescribed manner and must increase his or her financial provision to the satisfaction of the minister responsible for resources and submit an audit report to the minister responsible on the adequacy of financial provision for him. Now, I told you I don't want 5 years. Huh?
Yeah, it has to be annually.
Okay, so in the top, let's say every holder must annually assess and submit, and then you take out every 5 years. Okay, so annually, so take it annually, and then everyone happy? Can't be every 5 years. At least every year must be assessed and changed. Okay. I'm happy with that. By the substitution for subsection 5 of the following subsection, the requirement to maintain and retain the financial provision contemplated in this subsection remains in force, notwithstanding the issuing of disclosure certificate by the Minister of Mineral Resources in terms of the other app. So we have to say in terms of the huh? Why do we do it here and not elsewhere? Are those clauses that you're going to use in that act only?
As Hunter was saying earlier, there is provision for those things in the APRPA. So we can just cross it that into the provision.
Responsible for mineral terms of that to the holder or owner concerned, but the minister responsible for mineral resources may retain such portion of the financial provision as may be required to rehabilitate the closed mining or prospecting operation in the sector of latent or residual environmental impacts
this may become known in the future for a pre-site hearing. Is that the only thing after a closure that can become a problem, and that is the latent? I mean, AMD, that's not a latent defect. And that happens after the mine has been closed, isn't it? So if you do this year, it means the minister won't be able to hold back money for AMD. Right. You say yes specifically.
Chair,
and only retain a portion as required to rehabilitate the closed mining for later
dealings. Chair, my understanding is that DMG is latent because what happened was after these mines actually closed, it's only once they started filling with water and mixing with all the nitrate and all that kind of thing.
That was a latent defect. A latent defect is something that you can't see now.
Yes.
But we all know that those mines fill up with water.
But that was exactly what happened in terms of the AMD situation, the way I understood it. Nobody anticipated that that's what was going to happen.
No, everyone anticipated it. That's why the Minister of Mining, went to make an agreement with big business in 1987 to say the state will now take over all the responsibilities for ash mine drainage. The Buddha saw it a long time ago, before we. In 1987, that's why they signed the agreement, that now the state's got the responsibility for all mines. That's how the whole problem with AMG. One of the problems we have with these mines, they pull out that agreement that the minister, apartheid minister, signed with them. So AMG is not a latent defect. AMG is something we know. We all know that every single mine, where it drains, the water will go in there, and if it mixes with the exposed minerals that are in there, then that's what creates AMD. It's not a latent defect. So if you guys can word it like this, it will mean that the minister may not hold back money for AMD. Well, you guys will come back to me and say to me that you've covered. But I would think that this is very narrow. This is a very narrow. And we would rather want the minister to have as wide powers as possible to keep some of that money back if some unforeseen things happen, and even foreseen things. So I would want us to be 100% sure that acid mines, the dealing with acid mine drainage, a closed mine is also covered here. Because at the time when we dealt with AMD, that is exactly what we were told, is that the funds that are available provide for it and close it. If I read this, unless the residual is covering it, which I'm not sure that it does, but if that does, so look at AMD here, okay? Otherwise the clause is fine, no problem with it. Just make sure that AMD is covered. Everyone happy with that? Everyone happy here with that? Okay, so we're going to check that for us. By the addition of the following subsection, financial provision, why do we repeat that here? Because there's another act or what? Page 16, we're repeating the definition we got in the definition clause.
Section 45 initially this definition that only if mining related was in the definition clause, but we also need the general financial provision definition clause, and it didn't make provision for the other the financial provision for the other environmental activities, second to this as well. Apart from mining, this only deals with mining, and that is why I put it under the mining section.
Completely lost.
We also
there's a definition clause in this clause.
Yeah, well, that's general.
That is, I imagine, applicable to Act 107 of 1998, which is your NEMA, isn't it? Now, I saw these amendments remaining here. What act is that?
If you look at that,
107 of 1998.
But if you look at the previous definition and you look at this one,
It's not specific to mining, because it talks about things like including the pumping and treatment of extraneous water under A, decommissioning and closure of the operation, which is also under the other one, and then it also talks about the B, C, and D are the same, but in terms of A, it's specific in terms of exploration, mining, gesture.
Four components of the definition are exactly the same, except for the including. Now, I mean, I don't know about how you do drafting, but if you're going to have two definitions in the same act, and the only word you include is including bumping to the one, this is an absolutely good reason which I can't think of. Then what you do is, if that's what you want to do, is something only to apply to mining, then you put at the end of the original definition, and in the case of mining, it will also double down whatever it is. If you can't have two same definitions and then just with different words.
Okay, I think we'll broaden that definition of financial provision. The A is the only one that's different there, because it makes specific reference to the mining.
Just say, and in the case of whatever we use the word for mining, you say in paragraph A, it will also include pumping and treatment of extraneous water. You see, and that sentence A strengthened my argument about the A and B. That's exactly A and B we're talking about then. That's not the kind of wedding we have in the clause above. And therefore, the minute a woman has the right to keep money for pumping and treatment of extraneous water. Okay, so they'll change that definition more. Add mining. All right, which page are we? On 16. All right, let's adjourn for 5 minutes so people can go to dark dingy places and contemplate what's left out of the book. 5 minutes.
Hello, Peter. Hello, Kathy. This is Louise Albert.
That gentleman from Dem, I'll come here quickly.
I don't know if were here this morning when I opened the meeting. Now, we are very angry. We can't handle what the other one is. We've been 50 people under hand, and you're under my name. My PJ is trying to get over to the PJ. He tells me, don't get over to the PJ. My bike tomorrow, at the end of my day, saying what
Okay, let's start. For everyone, keep moving. application of violation. I'll call that. Okay, let's continue on page 16. Page 16, clause 8, amendment of section 24R of Act 2798, as inserted by section 8 of Act 6208. Section 24R of Natural Management Act is hereby amended by substitution of the subsection 1 of the Polycut section. Every holder, a holder of an old order right, and owner of works, hello, remain responsible for any environmental liability, pollution, or ecological degradation, the pumping and treating of extraneous water, the management and sustainable closure thereof, notwithstanding the issue of a closure certificate by the Mrs. Possible Miners, terms of that act to the holder or owner concerned. That's that clause where we also agreed that when this is closed, mustn't create the impression on the law that there's no obligation on those owners afterwards. So this is just to, it's the second clause where we've done this, so we just obviously retained it. Everyone happy with that? Good. When the minister responsible for mineral resources issues a closed certificate, he or she must turn such sports and financial provision concerns such as level T, as a minister may give appropriate to the holder concerned, but may retain a portion of such financial provision for any latent or residual environmental impact that may become known in the future for a free time period after issuing the closure. If any of you were here when we discussed this issue on in another clause, is that again, yeah, that I do not think under latent and residual environmental impact that asset mine drainage is covered. You see, and what makes it even worse, it says impact that may become known in the future. So something that's unknown, that's what the latent defect is. So I do not think that A and B is covered here, as I do not think under the previous clause at the top of page 16. So you guys must make sure that we're covering A and B here, that we can keep money for A and B. Okay? I think you weren't in the room when I discussed it. Okay, it's in one, but not in two. Two tells you that that's how you can keep money. And that's the only reason you can keep money is for latent defects that become known in the future. No, that's fine. And if you guys don't fix it up, all I'm saying is Hisham thinks that residual covers acid mine drainage, and I do not think so. Because residual also becomes known in the future. So make sure that acid mine drainage is covered here and the other four, okay? Whatever way you want to do it, it's just... Now why are we going here insertion of section 24F? It's funny why you don't deal with it. You put your amendment of section, da da da.
What happens is that we, in the 2008 Act, we added regulations for residue stockout files and residue.
Now, I don't want to know the reason now. I just want to know the technical thing. Usually, when you deal with a clause like 9, you start with amend section so-and-so of Act so-and-so. Here you've just got insertion of section 24S. So just you left things up.
No, it's not. What we did in 2008, we just...
No, this was 2008, madam. Yes, before each clause, you put amend section so-and-so. Now, you might say, what you're inserting here is
But explain which act and what you're doing.
We insert a new section of the 56th.
But then you must write it in which act?
Full time.
Well, okay, I understand. Yes.
See, you're coming along a bit
okay.
It's a technical thing, you just. Hey, ek moet Afrikaans met jou praat, maar kom, hulle van die regie is dan Engels. Die Engels is jou tweede language, so kom. So, Ms. Garlic will fix up that, to tell us where being, which act is being inserted. The following section is hereby inserted after section 24R. Management of residue stockpiles and residue deposits. Residue stockpiles and residue deposits must be managed in a prescribed manner. On any site demarcated for that purpose in the environmental management plan or environmental management program in question. Is this all residue stockpile deposit or just for mining? All this debate we've had now, but then it doesn't say so, does it? You see, what I'm thinking of is Mr. Dr. Raja and them are going to use this clause to then say that all stockpiles are now excluded from waste. That's what I've used this clause of when it says. There's a stockpile has been managed in a prescribed manner. Where is that? Page which? Yeah, but even in an old act, then all the new wording we use for mining and so on to indicate it only applies to mining, that is not part of that, what is in the old act. Now adding a new clause, you're saying residue stockpile and residue deposit must be managed in a prescribed manner on any site that commits for that purpose in environmental management plan or my program in question. So that means this clause will apply to absolutely everything other than even mining. But what words are you using to describe mining? Because mining. What does the NPRDA say? So in any case, that take away one of my worries that it's only applicable then to the NDRPA. Are you happy with that definition of there? And you guys have taken that out of the definition of waste. So all that stuff won't be part of regulation under waste. Yes.
What happened is that under Section 4 of the Waste Act, this was excluded and it's currently excluded from the Waste Act.
Yeah.
But we are going to keep that exclusion.
Yes.
But then I've removed the, but the last time the committee raised it, so I reinserted the definition in the waste book so that it explains Section 4.
Look, we don't have a problem that your agreement says that the Minister of Minerals is going to regulate stockpiles and so on. But what I was totally against is that it gets completely removed from waste. So it must remain surely waste, but then that Minister of Minerals has to act in terms of whatever our laws are to still treat it as waste and so on. But I mean, those slime dams and those things are highly, highly, highly polluted. I mean, it cannot be not part of that. I mean, that to me is added as waste. And that cannot be that it's not part of waste. So you say you put back the definition where?
Remember that on the previous occasion, DMR requested, and also the industry, that it's rather regulated under NEMA, because it's not always waste, it's also a resource, and it's still mined, and for that reason,
we
have
got... I'm not understanding what you're saying. I'm saying to you, we have got no problem. As part of your agreement with DMR, was that stockpiles and residue deposits will be dealt with by the Minister of DMR. We haven't got a problem with that. But we're agreeing with that agreement. We're trying to make compromises to agree with that. What I'm saying is that none of us have ever expressed the view that we don't want those not to be part of waste. You keep on saying that we've removed it in Section 4 from waste. But why do we do that? I mean, it's clearly waste. And why don't we want the law on waste to apply to it? But now, you just say prescribed manner. So what it is, you'll have to create a whole different legal regime for stockpiles and residue deposits. But there's a whole law that applies to waste. I'm just not understanding why we're doing it. Because we're giving the Minister of DMR the power to deal with waste in the mining area. But now, for some reason, we're taking it away from the definition of waste. I'm not understanding what we're saying. Sorry, let me just ask this question. Is it your intention, that we do remove it from waste, we're going to create a completely different legal regime in a prescribed manner for stockpiles and residue deposits? So we're giving you a blank check. When this bill leaves here, we do not know what the law is going to be on residue, stockpiles and residue deposits. We've got no clue because you're removing it from waste. Is that what we're saying? Surely it can't be. Because all those sludge dams, all those things are polluting our water at the moment. And we're saying now we're giving a blank check, we don't know how we're going to regulate this until we pass regulation.
Yeah, Chair, I think we need to separate out new operations, which would be subject to regulation via the environmental impact assessment. So new science dams and new tailings and so on would be regulated in terms of the environmental authorizations that are given for a new applicant, and separate that from existing mine dumps and science dams and so on. So the intent, as I understand it, was that for the existing mine dumps and stockpiles, residue stockpiles and residue deposits, we would create under NEMA a set of regulations. Remember that existing regulation exists under the EPRDA, and that now needs to come into the National Environmental Management Act. We've got a choice of whether we make those regulations under the Waste Act or whether we make them under the...
Why did you make a choice to remove from waste?
EPMR can... How tight you got?
Maybe to add, sir, on what the colleague said, that is to say that in terms of the process and the mining methods, you find that previously the technology was such that very little or not optimum extraction could happen. So hence, there would be some minerals that will still be retained in the rock formation. So hence, with improvements in technology, there is further extraction of the minerals that were previously deposited as the past. So hence, noting that the previous process was mining, and the new process again of reclaiming what is in the stockpiles or residue deposits will still be mining. So in terms of the NDRD, we'll still be requiring a mining right application as the first step indicated, which will require EIA for the...
I have no problem that is the case. I would imagine that happens. I don't have a problem that you do something with that, but I have a big problem that for that, you're also now removing real waste from the definition of waste, which is your sludge dams and things. That's got nothing to do with
recovering from stockpile and rocks and those are things that are busy polluting us today. You know it better than I do. Are the things that are polluting our water heavily, particularly in Gauteng. And I can't understand why we don't then just have a particular clause for that thing, that those rocks that you want to take out further minerals or mine down that you want to take out further minerals. What you do is just exclude that from the definition of waste. Just that part. But now you take everything under stockpiles and residue and all of it being removed from the definition of waste. And you now have to create a whole new legal regime just for that. It just makes no sense. Instead of in the Waste Act, you just remove the stuff that he's talking about. Here you don't want that to be regarded as waste because you're going to reuse it and get out more minerals. So, but then you that is what you then remove from the issue. I don't understand. You should put nothing in, no explanation that anyone's given yet. But we said, why have we completely removed all of these things from waste? At best, we got that there is a part of rocks, and I imagine even these sand heaps, what we call mine dumps, even there, I imagine you can redo with new technology and take out. Now, then it's those things, rocks or processed materials that come out of the mine that will be reused again, will come fall outside the definition of waste. Then everything else, then you can create regulations for that. Well, how you want to deal with it, if you want to, maybe the regulations cover it. But then at least we know that the rest of the stuff remains under the definition of waste, and the Minister of Minerals will make all decisions in terms of that other waste, because we've given her the power to do that in the Waste Act. Isn't that the more sensible way of dealing with
it? Yes, sure, but it's a bit more complicated also, because some of those wastes are actually radioactive as well, the slurry dams and all those kind of things. And that is regulated under the Hazardous Substances Act. So some of those
substances... But here you're now creating a separate definition.
But it's in the Waste Act, yeah.
This is about it. I'll have given the whole explanation and read the definitions to us. These definitions are not definitions in their act. And we are completely removing this from waste. And we say prescribed manner, that means that there's nothing that prescribes. We will prescribe it. That's what we're saying. So it can't be that it's somewhere else, it's nowhere else. We are actually completely changing the legal regime. But in the process, you guys have now gone so far in the process that you've removed even those other things completely. Because when I ask you what this all means, you read it to me, you read slime dams, da da da, all those things are included now in this. You agree with me, Mr. Demar, that what you guys are looking for is those rock or those whatever stockpiles you call it that have been extracted from the earth or have been extracted and processed into a mine dump. Those are the ones that you want to make sure that does not be regarded as waste and it can be reused. To extract it. But the other things are not falling under that category. Your sludge dams and your whatever. Are we in agreement with that?
It usually through your chair becomes subject of available technology at a point in time. We find that many times over time we discover technology that can enable back and reclaim the process.
Yeah, I mean, in the year 15,043, you may have technology that make me walk on the moon, but we're not going to pass a law now to allow me to walk on the moon. Because maybe in 1520-30 there'll be technology that does it. The logical thing to do is such a technology comes available and we've got it as part of the definition of waste, that you don't want it to be waste anymore because now you're reusable, then you come to the department, you say, we now have new technology and then you change the legislation. You can't provide for... I don't know why you guys don't see the implications of what we're doing. The implications of what we're doing is removing something which is the people that come and give input in this committee on mines and so on. I mean, remember all those community organizations that came here were crying about this thing, about what was done by these things. We as a committee have listened to their cries and so on. Now what do we do? In this legislation, we completely remove waste.
these problems completely from the definition of waste. Now there's no protection for them. And you want us to say that there will be regulations drafted in the future that will give them some protection. We don't even know what it is. We as a committee don't even know what it is. What are you going to call them?
Yes, as a way forward, perhaps, you know, Mark Gordon at the moment is drawing up that section, as you explained to the committee this morning, on the definition of waste. Maybe we should be including those definitions under the definition of waste, providing for the exclusion of those stockpiles which are to be reprocessed. In that definition.
I mean, committee, that is what we've been discussing and what we wanted to do. I mean, we'll feel much more comfortable with that. So you redefine all those things. You clearly, we've got no problem with this, what the DMR is saying. With those things, we want to reuse.
Yeah. And then you cannot
do, I mean, the big polluters must stand on that, as you stay on the waste. And the whole legal regime of waste. And then I want a clause that says that these regulations that will be passed in terms of 24S1 must be done with 3 months after the act was into operation. So at least 3 months after it, we want to see something. You can't edit for 3 months away there's going to be no law. That's the effect of this. There's no regulatory framework for 3 months. Within 3 months, these regulations must be passed. But the main thing we're going to amend is to make sure that those definitions, you can keep the DMR definition, I don't care about that, but to only make these clauses then applicable to those parts, which is the reuse part of it. And the others, you make sure you make an amendment under the waste, that you're doing that definition of waste now, that will fall there. And listen, because the chances of the Waste Act not being passed in this term, you must do it in a way that makes sure that those things get retained. Even this legislation will come into operation. This legislation I want in operation 3 months after the President signs. So this can't kick in and then the thing of waste is non-existent. So it's hanging in the air. So you have to draft it here to make sure that it's only those part of the definition of stockpile of DMR that falls under what the gentleman has explained. Only that is going to fall under this clause 24S. The other of it will be clear remains a waste. Whatever that definition is now, however weak it is, at least it must fall under that. We got that clear? Everyone happy with that? We'll draft it in a nice way that we accommodate DMR. But yet we don't destroy a whole regime of waste for stockpiles and so on. Secondly, then this is what we are accommodating DMR, there must be regulations drafted within 3 months of the act coming into operation. So 3 months will be a lacuna, but at least then we'll have, after 3 months, we'll have regulations that apply. We got that? Okay. Happy? Okay, that's how we're going to do it. So all this has to be redone in a way to explain to us that that's done. No person may temporarily or permanently deposit any residue stockpile or deposit on any site other than a site contemplated in subsection 1. The environmental management plan. Is that the plan done by the mine? By the mine owners? Is it approved somewhere?
Yes.
By who?
The EMR currently is done by EMR.
And what happens if a management plan has not been approved? How will subsection 2 have any effect? I'll guarantee you. I don't know, but I'll guarantee you, if I now go into the books of the MR, I can put my head on a block. There'll be mine, what's called environmental management plans from mines that have not been approved. I put my head on a block. So what will we say in this case? So this only has an effect once those plans have been approved. But in the next clause that says you can't dump it on any site that's not approved there is meaningless.
Chair, they don't get the right until the EMPR and the environmental authorizations have been issued. So they can't start operating.
Even I know that even now, as we sit here, the mining sector, there are 50 mines that are operating without a water license. It's what they name. You know it. I know it. There are mines that are just doing things that have not complied with these things. Now, all I'm asking here, you create a very clear legal regime which we only have regulations in the future. You say they can dump it on a site which is in their plan. You tell me that plan has to be approved by DMR. And the next clause says you may not dump it on any other site other than the one that's approved. And I'm saying to you, I guarantee you that a whole lot of them haven't plans approved. So where will they dump? And there's no legal obligation here then for them to do anything. What are we going to do about those?
Chair, then, if they do dump on a site other than the one that's been approved in terms of the authorization, it goes into the next phase where after the compliance audit, if something like that is found, then enforcement action must be taken against that particular mine. Because they're then acting in contravention of what was in the approved EMPR.
Just a point, Chair, in that the EMP itself as the as an environmental authorization in terms of the MPRPA. So hence, it triggers the granting of a mining right. So without the mining LMP, there won't be a mining right. And the non-implementation of the requirements of the EMP is just non-compliant.
You tell me the clause where the reader goes to me that a mining right is subject to EMP? I accept what you're saying. I just want to see the clause and I can see how strong it's worded.
It's currently what we are repealing from the MPRP and transferring it to NEMA so that it becomes an EIA.
So where in NEMA is it now? Where in NEMA we transfer that clause? That says you may not issue a mining license if there isn't a environmental management plan?
Chapter 5 deals with the competent authority largely.
Where?
On Chapter 5.
Chapter 5, yeah.
But in the regulations, so we're talking streamlining and alignment. That's where the application for mining right will trigger the need for EIA as well as the need for water use license application to commence.
Now that triggers it, but I want to see the clause.
24N, Chair.
Huh?
24N.
Yeah.
The new 1A there says where an environmental impact assessment has been identified as the environmental instrument to be utilized in informing application for an environmental authorization. The minister responsible, AC competent, must require the submission of an environmental management program before deciding an application for an environmental authorization. So it's under 24N, the new sub 1A.
Before what? Read the rest there, before what?
Okay, let me start again.
Before
deciding an application for an environmental authorization. So a prerequisite for his authorization.
Before the license.
Yeah. Granted. Yeah, it is before. But think about the sequence of events. The competent authority must require the submission of an environmental management program before the environmental authorization is granted. And then remember in terms of our time frame, that comes first, then only the license is granted. So the prerequisite for the license is the authorization, environmental authorization. Remember our picture, Chair?
Just to add on the sequencing, in terms of the MPRPA, the MP was an environmental authorization. But in terms of NEMA, for an EIA, we need an environmental management plan again, or an EMPR, as part of the of the environmental assessment process or an authorization.
Well, let's accept that. I'll have to look at all those clauses to kind of clear my mind on it. But I create an offence. Create an offence. They transgress too. It's an offence. Creating a prohibition and two, no person may dump it temporarily or on a sofa other than contemplated in one, which is your plan, which I assume all things you're saying are correct. If that is the case, then create under the offences clause, create an offence for two. Got it?
Right.
So, that whole area will then be cleaned up in the way that we've said, accommodate the part of the definition that DMR wants. We'll take that out, we'll create a separate legal regime. That will be agreed in 30 days, 3 months, the regulations for that. All the others remain under the definition of waste. And we'll also create an offense if this is not complied with. Everyone happy with that? Good. Committee there. Yeah. Alright, 18. Amendment of Section 28 of Act 10798, amended by Section 12, Act 14 of Clause 9, Section 12 of Act 30 of 2013, Section 28 of the National Environmental Act 1998, hereby amended by the substitution for subsection 4, 5, 8, and 9, and 12 of the following subsection. And then all that is done is we've added Director General of Minerals under each of those clauses to look at 4, 5, 8, and 9 as the only amendments. Add the Director General. All happy with that? Then under 12 is also that's all that is done, but it's mentioned 3 times. So we just wanted to make 100% sure everyone knows that what we want. We added 3 times in the same sentence. Director General. Everyone happy? Okay. So that's all just technical that stuff. Then clause 11, insertion of section 3BB in Act 107 of 98. The following section is hereby inserted in the National Environmental Act of Section 31BA, designation of environmental mineral resource inspectors by Minister responsible for mineral resources. The Minister responsible for mineral resources may designate as an environmental mineral resources inspector any staff member of the Department of Mineral Resources and at any time withdraw a designation made in terms of paragraph 8. Happy? Okay. Amendment of Section 31D of Act 107 of 98 as substituted by Section 5 of Act 44 of 2008. Section 31D of the National Environment Management Act 89 is hereby amended by the insertion of the subsection 2 of the following subsection. The Minister responsible for mineral resources may designate a person as environmental mineral resource inspector for compliance, monitoring, and enforcement of the provisions of this Act for a specific or a SEMA in respect of which powers are conferred on him or her. Okay, it's the follow of this previous clause we agreed to. A person designated by the substitution of subsection 3 of the following subsection, a person designated as an environmental management inspector or environmental mineral resource inspector may exercise any of the powers given to the environmental management inspectors in terms of the Act that are necessary for the inspector's mandate in terms of subsection 1 or 2A that may be specified by the Minister. The Minister responsible for water affairs, the Minister responsible for mineral resources or energy by notice in writing to the environmental management inspector or environmental mineral resource inspector. Can you understand what I've just said? Okay, accept it. Don't understand it better than you understand. By the addition of the following subsection, this pink is also difficult to read. Where's my mark? Despite the provisions in subsection 2A and 3, the Minister may,
For the concurrence of the responsible minister, if the environmental mineral resource inspectors are unable or adequately able to fulfill the compliance, monitoring, and enforcement functions, designate environmental management inspectors to implement these functions in terms of this act or a SEMA, respect of which powers been conferred on minister responsible mineral resources. So that's the clause where, remember, there's been an assessment of the capacity of minerals, and obviously they haven't done this work in the past, so it'll take time to work some of this work. So now they have to do all of it, so they'll have to build some capacity there. And this is just allowing that in concurrent with the two ministers, that you can use environment inspectors then to do the work. In the event, now that is when there's a lack of capacity. But what happens when they're just not doing the work? As you recall, that many organizations and people have come and given evidence here that they don't. And we haven't expressed our views on whether they're right or wrong, but it's clearly a huge problem that people envisage. So what happens then if they have got the capacity but they isn't compliant? In the event that a complainant alleges that the compliance, monitoring, and enforcement functions relating to prospecting, exploration, mining, or production have not been implemented. I thought that word was going to change. The complainant must submit in writing information substantiating such allegations to the Minister of Mineral Resources. In the event the complainant is not satisfied with the response from the Minister, the complainant may submit in writing such information to the Minister with substantiation documentation, including on the engagement with the Minister of Mineral Resources. On receipt of such information referred to in subsection 6, the Minister must consult with the Minister responsible for mineral resources on his or her response to the complainant. Subsequent to subsection 6, the Minister may, in concurrence, so they must agree with the Minister responsible for mineral within a reasonable period of time, and where appropriate, assist or support the Minister responsible for mineral to fulfill his or her compliance, monitoring, and enforcement obligation, or direct the environmental management inspectors that contemplate such support to undertake the compliance, monitoring, and enforcement functions. The Minister must inform the complainant of steps taken in response to the complaint.
The only problem I have is in 5. I thought we discussed that last night.
That the word not being implemented is the race of the years of Anadim. I thought we said that if a specific function is not being complied with, then you complain of it. To leave it as a broad thing that it hasn't been implemented, that'll mean we'll have millions of complaints all the time because it's so broad that almost anything falls under it. So we must find a wording to make it that it's only when there's a complainant on a specific monitoring and function that is not being. Okay, let's just make that narrow. Else we're going to have been, the law department is going to be inundated. They're all going to say, because now question of degree. What degree do I think there's a complaint that they've not implemented the compliance? Not whether I've got a complaint on a specific thing hasn't been done. So there's a difference between the two, okay? So you'll reword that for us. With that rewording to make it the trigger a little bit narrower, and I think DMR will be happy to make it narrower. Everyone happy with that? They'll just go and reword that not being implemented. Okay? Salagar. Addendum of section 42A of Act 107/98 is inserted by section 10 of Act 46 of 203. Section 42 is hereby amended by the addition of the following subsection. A provincial head of department may delegate a power or duty vested in him or her or delegated to him or her by the MSC in terms of this act or a specific SEMA to the holder of an office in the department. The delegation in subsection 5 must be in writing and may be subject to conditions. Is this the power to delegate? By who? By the provincial head. Why are we dealing with provincial heads in this book? They've got nothing to do with mining. Why are we dealing with the delegation power of the provincial head?
explain. What happened at the moment is under Section 28, provincial electors, the licenses can issue directives, but there is no power in the Act to allow them to delegate their function down. So they approached the Director General.
So you just slipped it into this one here, and dealing with mining, you slipped in. I suppose it makes government more effective if there is a power to delegate. So, but strictly speaking, this shouldn't be here. I mean, we're dealing with money here. It's got nothing to do with mining. Well, not mining, environmental issues within mining. What do members say? You know, it doesn't seem to do too harm and just make government work a bit better. Does not prevent the exercise of power or the performing of the management of the may include the power to stop doing. Yeah, just explain C to me, but I don't understand that's how delegation works. How do you give them a power that does not prevent you to exercise the power? Well, you can take it away. I mean, you can cancel the delegation. But once you've given a delegation to someone, which is a big problem in government, people don't realize this. They give the delegation to someone and then they keep doing whatever you've delegated them to do. So you can't do that. You of course can retain the power to take away the delegation. But once you've delegated, I mean, I delegate something to Alf to do. I mean, Isha can't keep on doing that task, or I can't keep on doing that task. If I've delegated to Alf, I can put in place how he will exercise that delegation. I can put conditions there, say before you exercise, like in a department. When a DG delegates that you make appointments at certain levels, because the DG don't want to go right down to, they don't do that, and they do that. Now you can't say the DG can also just do that job. That person then has the power to do that. And they can create conditions in that. But I don't know how you, your work will fund you. But it does not prevent the exercise of power or the performance of the duty by the provincial head. But it's just legally wrong. If you say you can take back the power, I understand. That's fine. You can say that. You can cancel the delegation. But you can't say you've got a power, but you can't exercise in a way that prevents me from exercising. I've delegated to you. Well, that will come in your conditions. It will be the clause above, under subject to conditions.
But the responsibility still lies with the person delegating the power.
Yes, but you've delegated the power. You can't say that's not for me. I think you must go and re-look at it. Sub-delegation. Like our sub-delegation.
Yeah.
Common law. So where do we allow it? You delegate once, John. Don't delegate twice. Frank, oh, the access, that doesn't mean it's the...
I do agree. I think that if it's incorrect, it needs to be corrected through an amendment process. But the reality is, it's consistent
with... If you've got the conditions are, if you make the wrong decision, I can do the decision. If you make a decision, this is the process you follow. You at least let me know about it when you make the decision.
Yeah.
But then all these other things where we say you cannot prevent the exercise being done, that is all withdrawal. Or it's, you don't comply with the conditions of the delegation.
No, I understand your logic, Chair. I'm not disputing the logic.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is that the way it's drafted here is consistent with Section 42 in the Act as it stands.
I've not done reading for a while on these issues, but as far as I can remember, the common law, you can't sub-delegate. Now, unless something in the Constitution has changed the common law, okay.
Chair, do you want us to bring consequential amendments to Section 42 of the Act?
Well, there's other places where you've written this stuff.
It's exactly drafted as in Section 42.
But you check what you think the law is.
And then come back to us and tell us how to deal with it.
Yeah.
See, if you link seed to conditions, if you link the seed to the conditions, say, if any condition in the view of the person that given the delegation has not, then it does not prevent you, then that makes sense to me. But you can't as a, and I can't delegate something to you and then just lily-willy overrule, make a decision on behalf of someone I've given the power to do so. Okay, so you guys look at that, and if there are consequential amendments needed elsewhere, then you do all of them. Okay. Section 4, the next one. Sorry, are we all, can we run with that? Just, that's a legally technical thing that you can look at, okay? Amendment of Section 43 of Act 1789 is substituted by Section 4 of Act 8 of 204 and Section 10 of Act 62 of 208. Section 43 of the National Environment Management Act is hereby amended by the substitution for subsections 1, 8, 4, 7 of the following subsections. Any person may appeal to the minister against the decision of the minister's council or any person acting under his or delegated authority made in terms of this act or any specific environmental management act. I mean, if you just read it like it is here and not link it to the powers of the given minister, then it means any decision made by the Minister of Mineral Resources, any decision, just can appeal it to upper minister. Surely it's only a decision in terms of powers that have been given in terms of this act to her. You see what I'm saying? Any person may appeal to the minister against a decision of the minister responsible for minerals or any person acting under the delegated authority. Against the decision,
this one I move that in terms of this up towards.
Yeah, I think that'll make a bit. I see what you're saying, but that makes a bit more sense. Yeah.
This is
yeah. But that then means that if you say any other specific SEMA, that means the SEMA that you've amended to give the minister powers. An appeal under section 11A or 2 must be noted and must be dealt with in a manner prescribed. Okay, that's nothing changed. An appeal under this section suspends the environmental authorization exemption for any provision of conditions of test and two. Does that cover all the possibilities? An EIA, an exemption, or condition? Are those the three things that we gave this minister power, the other minister power to do? Which requires a decision. So you sure you cover everything? Alright, they said they've covered everything. Are everyone happy? That's obvious. To make these time frames work, if someone appealed here something, it has to suspend the process. I mean, you can't keep on ignoring that and keep on going with the process. So that's logical. Remember, previously the words here were, unless the minister says otherwise. So the minister who you're appealing against says, I'm not going to let this suspend my decision. I'm going to keep on making decisions. Well, we said that can't be the thing. So it must suspend the process that we make strict time frames and it will keep moving. And so that is why we've got it. So everyone happy with that? Okay. B, by the deletion of subsection 1B. C, by the addition of the following subsection. A person receives a directive in terms of 28.4 may lodge an appeal against the decision made by the DD, the minerals or the provincial head to the minister. The minister responsible for mineral or the ministry of the case may be within 30 days of the director or within such longer period as the minister responsible for mineral resources will make determine. After considering the appeal,
Now you see how just above they said it has included everything. Here now we see that the DJ's got a right to make directives. And that's not a not added under the suspension thing there. Directives are not included there. You with me?
At the moment, yeah.
You actually, now I see you take our directive.
And the reason why we did it here, in one of the amendments that we did, I think it's 2009, we have, under section 28, it was always the minister that issued the directives. And at that stage, we changed it to director general, and it is the department, but I don't think the consequential amendments have been made. And there, and at the moment, the appeal is only possible if you act under delegated authority. It might be a bit different for mineral
resources. But in this act now, you've given the DG the right to make directives under 28.
Yes.
So you don't have to look at the past. The question is now, either he makes a directive and someone wants to appeal against it.
But
shouldn't that director then also be suspended until the appeal is done?
Not in all instances, Chair, and that is why we have done a new clause. Because some aspects of the directive you need to keep alive, so for example, to contain pollution or to do some immediate remediation and stuff. But and things you can suspend the rest, for example, to
but you're not saying you can suspend the rest yet.
You
have to word in such a way to capture what you
said. Just to give personal experience, when I happened in my previous life to be in a position to issue a directive, the situation which is very common in a directive is that you direct the person to cease the activity pending an investigation of the legality of that. Now you are saying that that person can appeal the directive to cease, at least stop doing what they are doing illegally.
Garland has just explained there are some parts that should be suspended, some not. So I'm saying, well, why don't you word it in such a way that you suspend the parts you can suspend and not suspend the others? But I mean, the way you leave it now, it means that everything you say to that person and everything they are appealing against, for example, you will remember how broad we made Section 28. We've now rewritten Section 28 completely. And we've given the minister huge powers to, for example, allow for remediation and so on. Now, if the person appeals against that, you can't say that old directive is going to remain in place. Because then the person must do all those things, otherwise you can take legal action against them. So maybe what you must do then, Mr. Wolf, is go and look again at Section 28, and in 28, create the possibility there that the competent authority can, when they when a part of their directive is being appealed, decide which aspects are still completely necessary to retain for the prevention of pollution. Then you very narrowly define what part will be retained by that competent authority. And the rest of it can be appealed.
Well, we did try and do that in subsections 8, 9, and 10, just the next two.
But 8, this is what I read. No, but that's not dealing with it, because that's now we're changing the directive. The person that is appealing has a right to appeal that which you've said, so you don't, I mean, no one now there's a thing, I mean, so it shouldn't be confirmed or that, it should be that the minister can then order, or whatever you use the word, what part of the directive will be suspended for the purposes, and you may say this, for the purposes to avoid further pollution. So the very narrow ground on which part of it doesn't become suspended. The rest will have to become suspended for the appeal of that.
Then essentially in terms from an enforcement perspective we find ourselves, and that's what we want to do then, because the point of clause 9 there is that the minister
no, but
appeal is a basic legal principle. You cannot say that a person has a right to appeal something, and then in the middle of the process, you allow the authorities to then amend the document or the order or the directive they appeal against. I mean, imagine in law, if you allow ministers then to take their matters on the field, in the middle of the process, you allow them to amend the directive.
It is after considering the appeal. If you read 9, it says after considering the appeal of.
That's even worse.
Okay.
Because until the appeal has been considered, there's no suspension. So that person must keep on doing whatever you've ordered them to do. And I've told you, we've broadened Section 28 so broadly. We have to, because it's a remedial clause. So we've given minister all the powers to be able to tell them to. I mean, for example, they've done something to break down the dam they built to, stop damages. That could be huge cost implications. The person wants to appeal against it, you're not there, we'll just amend the directive. We can't do that.
Can I suggest that we insert after 8 a clause which says the minister must identify which elements of the directive must not be suspended pending the outcome of the appeal.
Well, then when you say suspended, they suspend it in terms of section so-and-so, pending the, and you must also in that clause say, make sure that the minister can only do it for the purposes of avoiding damage to the environment. So it can't be for any other reason that they don't suspend parts of the things. So it's a narrow reason why. But you're on the right track. You guys can work on that, okay? The directive, the amending and the changing of a directive, that you can only allow that if you can create a whole procedure where that applicant then can engage with you, and then in agreement you change that directive. If you want to create some procedure like that, that's fine. But you can't let a authority with the challenge then change the directive midstream.
Maybe I can
give you a practical example. Assuming that you have an operation running and it's a couple of activities and one specific activity is a polluting activity, and assuming that the directive indicates that you have to cease operation completely, you then write to the minister and you say, listen, it's only my kiln, for example, that's causing the pollution. I'd like to have the directive modified. Then you go to sub-clause 9, which then allows the minister to say, okay, I've considered your appeal, your business is making bricks, the only aspect that's polluting is in fact the kiln, and I'm modifying the directive, because the difficulty is if you have to...
If you do that, then it still doesn't suspend the procedure from the beginning. It's after the appeal that the minister comes in, okay, well, I'm as an outcome of it, not the appeal itself. I said to you, if you want to create a clause like this where you can change or amend, I think we've got it in Section 28, but if you've got, you haven't got it there, then you can create such a procedure, but it mustn't be a link to the appeal. I mean, they may very well send something to you that makes sense on the directive. They say, but we can't do this because of these reasons. You may think, okay, well, let's amend the directive. But that's not linked to the appeal. So you then, if you want to have something like this, of changing it, you must not link it to the appeal. We'll look at that, we'll let that committee. But the appeal thing, you'll have to, this is a very careful thing you'll have to draw. That it's only those parts of the directive that if they were not suspended will lead to further pollution, that part will not be suspended. It is only that part of the directive, if it were not to be suspended, would lead to environmental degradation or whatever we call it. That part will not be suspended. And we know that that means that the rest is suspended. So that's the wording you'll have to find, okay? Okay, I'm going to leave that clause because clearly there's work to be done on 28. You guys need to come. I know you guys are going to come with all these amendments. You were on the right track, the things you were saying. So, I mean, whatever you do. I think you guys have got to understand what you're saying. And as I said, the only thing that you guys must consider then
is if you want this modification clause outside of the appeal if it isn't in 28. It was maybe not a good bad thing. I mean, if an applicant comes back to you and says, but have you considered this and this? I mean, it's impossible to do it. And you said, well, see, they're actually right.
Like, usually what happens in terms of our process is you go out in your application and you then find that they're not doing something. You then give them with a three directions. You then say to them, listen, give us the reason why you're not doing it. Always after that process of meeting, and you see doing the three directions and try and iron out the issue, only then to the directions.
I'm saying that's great, but I'm saying to still review. One, two, you guys can consider if you still may need a procedure that where there is a directive and something was not noted or missed or whatever, then it's up to you guys, but don't link it to appeal. That's all I'm saying. We'll leave it up to you, Commissioner.
Yes,
suspend. To suspend. Yeah, beside if need modification outside appeal process. Okay, are we on the same page? Okay. Committee members happy with that? They're going to relook that appeal thing and how they deal with the suspension of directors, which means that they may have to go and amend the suspending. But I must tell you, having had that whole long discussion now, doesn't enthuse enthusiasm in me for this whole appeal process of yours. But I'm now wondering if you've missed anything else. So you may have to think under the appeal process where you say, where is this appeal process? Oh no, it's a suspension clause that only specific things can be suspended. I just think that maybe you should look there at like you've a catch-all in the previous the appeal clause that says a decision made in terms of this act. Maybe we should also say or any other decision made in terms of this act or the SEMA. So you've got an environmental authorization and extension. For any provision of conditions, you may have to send out something on about directives, and I'm worried that there are other things there as well, and then the possibility of passing a catch-all phrase there. Did you hear me? That's under the suspension. 14A, you've made it wide. You've said any person may appeal a decision made in terms of this act or a SEMA. Today we've linked the act and the SEMA. Now, under the suspension, for some reason, you guys have narrowed it that a EIA and exemption, that will be suspended. Now, I'm saying, if you guys are not listed, like you haven't a listed directive there, which you now will, if you haven't done so, then you can't suspend that part of it. So, the way to resolve that is to create a catch-all under that section, plus the directives, okay? You with me? Okay, I'm busy, of course it does. Amendment of Section 44 of the Act of this is amended. Oh, God, I haven't got more than 44. How many more are there? 44, I think it's lost. Amendment of Section 44 of Act 107/98 is amended by Section 2 of 52 of 2 as amended by Section 21 of Act 50 of 2013. Section 44 of the National Environment Management Act is hereby amended by substitutions of paragraph AD of the following paragraph. It's a small AD. That's the only change. What is the change? Usually if the substitution, all that will be underlined or part of it will be underlined. Nothing's underlined. It says the and is taken out. You added what? No, I'm not worried about C, that's underlined. I'm saying in the A part there's nothing that's... So all you're doing is taking out the N. Okay. All right, is it the and?
No problem, that's technical.
B, the addition of the subsection 1AD of the following paragraphs on the assessment and determination of environmental liability, auditing, reporting on environmental liability, the amendment of the financial provision, and any other necessary matter necessary to facilitate the implementation of the financial provision. That seems to cover any everything. C, the insertion of the subsection 1B of the following subsection, regulations made in terms of this Act or any other Act of Parliament that may have the effect of amending the provisions of the agreement referred to in section 50A must be made by the Minister in concurrence with the Minister responsible for mineral resources. And then you remember we have a clause elsewhere that says those things must be tabled in Parliament, what did we say, 50 or 60 days? Huh? 30 days, okay. Before it's published. Is that okay? Everyone happy? 2 ministers will do it in concurrent or they won't be able to have a turning time. Huh?
To be cautious, should we not add the hand of the minister responsible for water?
Yeah.
In consistent case.
Just in case of the minister of water. Okay. Sorry. In fact, you may make sure that throughout the act that is done. There's no guarantee that the next minister will be of environment and water. So you must make sure that these 3 ministers are covered. So, consequential check, whole act, 3 minister of water. Got that? Check the whole act that we don't make that mistake anyway. Everyone happy? Right, insertion, top of page 28. Insertion of section 47 capital letter CA and 47 capital letter CD in Act 107 of 1998. The following sections are hereby inserted in the National Environmental Management Act 98 of after section 47C. The Minister responsible for mineral resources in respect of a decision that relates to prospecting, exploration, mining or production in terms of this Act or any CIMA may only in exceptional circumstances extend a failure by a person to comply with a time period in terms of this Act or a specific Environmental Management Act, except the time period which binds the Minister responsible for mineral resources, or in the case of an appeal against a decision taken in terms of this Act or a specific Environmental Management Act. So that's just a narrowing of allowing an extension of a period. I don't know, it's an except. So you wouldn't at all, you can only make extensions except for those 2 instances. That's what we have. So that means you have completely excluded the extension under appeals.
That was a request from the Department of Mineral Resources. I have narrowed it down, but I have also, they don't want
the extension. I'm not interested in what mineral resources, most of the things they do are illegal. So the problem, what I've said to you previously,
okay,
is if you completely say that a minister may not at all consider an extension on an appeal, so that means one day late, then this law completely prohibits you from, I mean, if you go to any court, this is why I'm saying DMR is just wrong with these things. I don't know who gives them legal advice. Because if you go to any court and you say to someone, you may not even extend it if it's one day late. What we've said is we've discussed this thing over and over in the committee. And we said that we don't mind if it's only, you can only extended in exceptional circumstances, but there has to be a discretion. And then I thought we set out what the exceptional circumstances were, dependent on how far the appeal process had already gone and so on, which will then allow you to extend if it's one day late. But if the appeal has already gone on for 3 months, then of course there's a strong ground why you won't extend the appeal, because it's gone so far down the line. So now we're back again because DMR asked you to do things, and I've asked you so many times not to listen to DMR and to come for your instructions to the committee.
DNR gets these things wrong all the time. They don't understand legal consequences. This thing will be struck down by court. It's a complete prohibition of even a one-day, a one-hour extension, a one-second extension. Yes. So what? Yeah, so you've already created an exceptional circumstance, then you create a prohibition in the next clause. Hey, I don't have a problem with it. You're just saying that the Minister of Minerals may not extend her own period. But B, it's in a case of an appeal against a decision taken by her. You don't even want the offer minutes to be condoned or extended. Doesn't matter who it goes to. You have now created a prohibition that half a minute can't be extended. If we say that a period is 30 days, then you send in something at 1 second past the 30 day, then the minister can say, okay, well, extend it. And we've already in the first part of the clause said, may only in exceptional circumstances extend a failure by the person to comply with the time period. So the B thing is going to delete, it's just that we're going to get into trouble legally. In fact, if I was any NGO, I would have to send it 1 minute late and then go to court to make it look stupid. B. Condemnation. The minister, condemnation of time period applicable to appeals relating to prospecting, information mining and production. The minister responsible mineral may only accept of circumstances condone a failure by a person to comply with the time period applicable to an appeal, contemplate and accept the time period which binds the minister. Grab on to it. The minister.
The first part there, should just be the minister
What's the difference between the first one and this one? And the first one only applies to the Minister of Minerals. Okay, all right. Okay. Yeah. The Minister of MSC, or MSC, I don't know why MSC is there. There comes on. May not accept an application for condemnation submitted in a field complaint section 40A after 30 days left from the date of the decision by the minister responsible. Okay, so there we have now created a limitation that 30 days after it can't be accepted, and that is now, I mean, at least reasonable. And you can at least go and argue that before a court of law. When condemnation, considering condemnation, the minister must consider the following factors, and then we have those factors. The degree of lateness, detail. Yeah, something wrong there.
And
whether and to what extent the person or the minister responding to the minister's order will suffer prejudice, time period extended, or failure, and the detail, something explanation on the process of success. Well, I'm not sure about that. The time period only condemned to maximum period equal to the time period allowed for the action of the risk of the major soul. I'm not sure about the prospectus. That's more where it was a court of law. When you argue for a court of law, then clearly a judge has the well, they say a judge, let me not say a judge has, because I don't think all judges have it, but a judge is supposed to have the ability to look at the prospects of the case and still act rationally, and whereas, I mean, you can't ask a lay person to start looking at the prospects of the case and take that into consideration whether they condone or not. So there's not, that's far too legalistic. Yeah, you know, that's fine, something like that, but not the process of success. Alright, I think you guys have it now, we're how to sort out this appeal thing. Clearly what we want, this is our instruction from the committee. We want to in law say that you can only in exceptional circumstances extend time periods. Okay? But we must be careful not to completely remove that. In particularly small instances. Now, I'm happy to live with the 30 day we've given, that you cannot give it longer than 30 days, and I'm prepared not to go and argue in a board of law that we have taken so much time to harmonize and synchronize all these processes into a package of 390 days, that if you were to allow appeal processes to be able to be condoned 3-4 months after appeals are being brought, then we can just not have this process. So I'm happy to go and argue that in the court of law, because I think we're trying to be fair, so that if it's a 1-2 day late, it's fine, but at least once it starts becoming, as long as you had actually to lodge it, then I think we can argue in a court why we think we've created a total prohibition after that. Okay? Everyone happy with that? I think it's much more balanced like that. Right, 17. The following sections inserted in the Fiscal Act after Section 50, future amendments in respect of environmental matters if it passes the rates of the agreement. Any proposed amendments to the provisions relating to protecting and exploration, mining and production of this Act, the Principal Act, the National Environmental Management Act, 208, a specific SEMA, or any other Act of Parliament that may have the effect of amending the provision of the agreement, have to be subject to concurrence between the Minister of Sons of Water and the Minister responsible for Mineral Resources, and any intervention contemplated by Clause A that may lead to the amendment of the provisions of the agreement must be tabled in Parliament prior to any steps being taken to effect those changes. And Parliament may express its view on the proposed amendment of the agreement. Okay, that's what we have, the compromise we made with the DMR, so reads nicely. Agreement for the purpose of subsection 1 means the agreement reached between the Minister, Minister responsible for water and Minister responsible for mineral resources on one environmental system for the country with respect to mining which entails. I don't think you say on, you say entitled. Or titled. Whatever the year is. Which entails that all environment related aspects, all environment related aspects would be regulated to one system, which is the Principal Act, and that all environmental provisions would be repealed from the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act of 2002. That the Minister sets the regulatory framework and norms and standards, and that the Minister responsible for mineral resources will implement the provisions of the Fiscal Act and the subordinate legislation as far as it relates to prospecting, exploration, mining and operation. That the Minister responsible for mineral resources will issue environmental authorization terms of the Principal Act for prospecting, exploration, mining, and the Minister will be the appeal authority of these authorizations. Now, you've not done what I've asked you to do, and or ors. And that the Minister responsible for Mineral Resources and Minister responsible for Water agree on fixed time frame for the consideration and issuing of the authorization in their respective legislation, and also agreed on to synchronize the time frame. Happy? I think that caps it. You just need to do and then. I mean, I asked you yesterday to make sure all the ands or ors in the document is done. I don't think you had enough time to do it. I know you left my house at 9:30 last night, so. Anybody?
18, amendment of section 159 of 208, section 1 of the National Environment Waste Act, hereby amended by the insertion of the definition of NSC of the following definition. Mineral and thermal resources means the mineral after NSC, not of NSC, after that. In the Mineral Petroleum Resources Act. Could you get a simpler way of dealing with it? You should not just spell out which act. You could have just said Mineral Social Resources Act or something like that. But okay, don't worry, deal with it. Let's not get further from it. By insertion, after the definition of recycled of the following definition, residue deposit, residue stock. Now there you may have to, maybe you're going to relook all that stuff. Okay? So that might stay the same, it might change. Hello? Yes? Those two definitions, remember they must be relooked in light of the discussion we had under another one. Amendment of Section 4 of Act 59 of 208. Section 4 of the National Environment Management Act 208 is hereby amended by the substitution of Section B in 1 for the following subsection. Residue deposits and residue stockpiles that are regulated under the Well, yeah, you may also have to relook. So relook on all that stuff. Insertion of Section 20A in Act 59 of 208. The following section is hereby inserted in the National Environment Management Waste Act of 208 after Section 20. Prohibited or restricted activity in specified geographical areas. Is this a new amendment? I see it's all underlined. You use the same wording in NEMA, yeah. Oh, okay, well, we've done it already, let's read it. 28. Prohibited or restricted activities in specified geographical areas, despite Section 19 and in accordance with the risks, adverse and cautious approach contemplated in Section 2, 4, 8, 6, 7 of the National Mine Management Act of 89, the Minister may by notice in the Gazette prohibit or restrict the granting of a waste management license by the licensing authority for listed activity in a specific geographical area for which period and on such terms and conditions as the Minister may determine. It is necessary in order to ensure protection of the environment, conservation of resources, sustainable development, or human health and well-being. The prohibition or restriction contemplated in subsection 1 does not affect the undertaking of activities authorized by means of a waste management license prior to the prohibition becoming effective. Where the prohibition or restriction affects the exercise of the power that the MSC has in terms of this act, prohibition or restriction contemplated in subsection 1 may be published in the Gazette after consulting the NSC affected by the prohibition restriction measure. The Minister may by notice in the Gazette lift the prohibition restriction made in terms of subsection 1 if the circumstances which causes the Minister to prohibit the restrict no longer exist or amend any period term or condition of the any prohibition restriction made in terms of subsection 1 if the circumstances which causes the Minister to prohibit the restrict has changed. Before acting in terms of subsection 1, the Minister must consult all government members who areas of responsibility will be affected by the existence of the power. In accordance with the principle of cooperative government set out in the Constitution of the Constitution, consult the MSC. Why do we say that? I mean, why do we just say consult the MSC that will be affected by the exercise of the power? Why do we say, I mean, you have to comply with the Constitution in any case, so why are we saying comply with the Constitution when you consult it? And if you don't say it, if you say it some places, but you don't say it others, and the court reads the act and say, but why did you say some places that apply, but others you don't say it? So I think that, I mean, I find it redundant to say it like that. I mean, if you say it's a must consult, and you say it must up it up top, then you must consult. The consult has to be meaningful consultation, or the court will strike it out. So, just, you know. Publish the notice in the Gazette inviting members of the public to submit to the Minister within 30 days of the death of the notice in the Gazette written representation of the proposed prohibition or restriction. Everyone happy with that, with those little technical things changing there? Everyone happy? Yes. Amendment of Section 43 of Act 59 of 208, Section 43 of the National Environment Management Act 2008 is hereby amended by the insertion of the subsection 1 of the following subsection. The Minister responsible for mineral resources is a licensed authority with a waste management activity that is directly related to, and then the usual stuff there, okay?
the mining, the petroleum, the minerals, the special exploration of minerals, or extraction of primary data. Everyone happy? Discussion of section 979A in Act 59 of 208. The following section is hereby inserted in the National Environmental Waste Act after section 79. Delegation by MIS responsible for mineral resources. Mineral resources may delegate a function trusted to him or in terms of the Act of the Director General of the Department responsible for mineral resources or an official to or to the holder. I'm not sure I like this, because what you're empowering the minister to do is to delegate one of these environmental powers of hers to a far greater fee. We say an official, so that's any official in the department. So the cleaning lady, the cleaning man, the cleaning lady, unfortunately in our sexist society, Mark, they're usually cleaning ladies, unfortunately. So I'm not sure, I mean, do you really, does GMR want to give it to the lowest official in the department? These huge powers we're giving you, you want to delegate it even to a clerk grade 15?
Not necessarily.
Okay, 15. They tell me 15 is the high one. One, clerk grade 1. Surely it's a director and higher. I mean, you don't want to go lower than a director, surely. Huh? By the way, a director gets more than an MD, by the way. So, you know. I just want to remind you that I work with you people every day. I work my bum off to get all your bloody clothes right, and you all get paid more than I do. Get much more than I do. Yeah, I mean, can we do it like SMA? What do you call it?
SMS.
Yeah. Not, can't just delete it. Change that B then, okay? Change it to something that's more appropriate. I mean, these spells are too used to just add out. Okay, and then we've got the same problems there with delegation. If you link C to B, then there's no problem. If it's not linked to B, I think there's a problem. Okay? I think you've left out the sub-delegate, thank God. Everyone happy? Exceeding. Amendment of Section 12, Act 62 of 208. Section 12 of the National Environmental Management Amendment Act 208 is hereby amended by the addition of the following subsections. Any appeal to lodge in terms of Section 96 of the Mineral Petroleum Data of 208. Already we've got a definition clause there, so we don't have to repeat all this. Ms. Carter, did you hear me? Do you agree? Can I go ahead and listen? No, I paused that already. That is, all whatever you apply in the previous discussion applies here. Except that some delegate has been left out here. I say, thank God. You have to discuss that here. But now the next clause, you just gave us a definition 2 pages before of this Petroleum Act, and you're still giving a whole reference to this Act. So just change it. Against the decision in respect of environmental aspects that is pending on the days referred to in Section 14AB of the National Design must be dealt with in terms of the Mineral Petroleum Development Act. An application for a right or permit in relation to prospecting exploration or production in terms of the Minerals Act that is pending on the day referred to in that Act must be dispensed of in terms of that Act, that is, the principal Act has not been amended. Alright, that's just all that waffle. It just says that the Minister of Minerals will still retain all the power there. Section 13, repeal of Section 13 of Act 63 of 28. Section 13 of the National Environmental Management Amendment Act is hereby repealed. Section 14 is repealed.
Mm-hmm.
those provisions that deal with coming into effect in April, because the other provisions are really in effect. It's just that portion that say it comes into operation 18 months after the date of the commencement. But we have a discussion, and you have indicated that you want things to come into effect 3 or 4 months after the coming into effect.
No, that's the last clause, but this could impact on that. The last clause is 29, is in short time, or this act. That I want 3 months, but yeah, this could impact quite badly on what we're doing. Let's look at the implications of what this is. Just tell me, you and Minerals, tell me what it is you want to do here with the blue.
Actually, after the committee, the discussion in the committee the last time, because this clause wasn't amended before, and then I realized that it was...
This clause is now in the act that wasn't implemented for 8 years by DMR. Then last year in June, they implemented it.
It's in our act.
This clause is in our act.
Yes.
Not in DMR's act.
No. They have a similar clause.
So you're amending it in our act, but we're not amending it in their act. How will that work?
On the previous occasion, the chief statement by the indicated that whatever the amends here, they will amend the appeal in the mineral board.
I'm not understanding this. I'll tell you why not. Because that act has come into existence. The problem with that act, there's a two time periods. Well, I think it's one. You guys think it's two. I think if you read 13 and you read 14 together, the two 18s are exactly the same thing. You guys tell me that DMR is interpreting it as 18 and 18, and I think it's wrong. But be that as it may, let's say 18 or 36, whatever it is. Now, what I said to you is that if those clauses kick in, they are diametrically opposed to what is in this legislation. So if those clauses kick in on in this, you've taken the date in December, then it'll mean that this is all then put aside for the later piece of legislation, and then environment will refer back to how the past is decided. What we need to do is we need to deal with that. That clause that comes into operation in a way that the time frames don't kick in anymore. They're gone. Now the problem I have here is you still say any provision relating to mining will come into operation by a proclamation in the Gazette, but the President already put in operation. So I think what we need to do is, well, you can't delete all of it because section 14 is your short title. So you may, I don't know how, did the President, that act of yours that they put into operation in June, what it was, by way of proclamation. So then we'll just have to, then just have a simple clause to say, this act will be put into operation by a proclamation by the President. Or, if you want to capture the reality, is to say this act will come into, this act did come into operation by a proclamation of the President on the 16th of June, whatever, and then you take out all these 18 months of things. Otherwise, if they kick in, they're going to overturn this bill of ours. But if you do it like this, you say come into operation, that means it hasn't come into operation yet. And that he's still expecting the President to give a... But we all know it came into operation in June. And you clearly don't want to deal with the mineral side of it. That's already come to operation. So I think we just need to simply go look at this. You may have to delete section 13. But now you showed me 13 and 14, huh?
13
is already?
Yes.
Oh, it's above deleted. Then this must just be simply, I think you must just chat to the law advisors a bit. Either we must say as if just this act will come into operation on a date fixed by President, because that's what would happen in reality in June, or whether you actually say this act came into operation in June last year. I think that is just what we need to look at, okay? But it should be simple, it shouldn't be difficult like this. In the end of the day, you clearly want those provisional or transitional arrangements not to kick in and get rid of them, okay? So that will have to be reworded.
appeal is scheduled to Act 62 of 26. The schedule is a national act is hereby repealed.
Okay. Anyone a problem with that?
No. Then amendment of arrangements of sections of Act 107. The arrangements of sections of the National Environment hereby amended. Oh, that's your index.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just the index. I'm not going to read through that. Amendment of table of contents. That also the index. Different. Okay, you guys now got two different. Yeah. Environment. All right, and then it's the long short title. I want 3 months after the president signs all section 81 coming into operation. The usual clause. This is not going to ever be held up by DMR again. We're not going to leave over to their vicissitude. 3 months. Right? Committee members agree with that? So we're not going to leave it that just some proclamation will sometime in the future be passed, because I have explained how many police have stopped the implementation of the firearm of the Section 49, the use of force. They stopped, I think, for 5 or 6 years, not implementing it. I stopped blocking the proclamation. This department, for 8 years, didn't comply with what Parliament wanted last year. Again, because we just said by proclamation. So what this means is once the president has signed the bill, or once the bill has been published in terms of Section 81 of the Constitution by the president, then 3 months after that, this bill comes into operation. So that we don't take any chances. Okay? The president's got that?
Yes.
Just get that wording was 81 and the president's thing right, eh? Alright, so there are quite a few things there that have to... the only issues you really have to go and look up is the issue of the stockpile and the residue thing. How you split that, and some of it remains as waste and some of it's not going to be waste. That's the only really technical. And the rest of all technical nature. There's no... I mean, the delegation thing is just to go and read up on the rights to delegate power. I mean, that's just what the law is. So for me, it's quite easy to change them. Will you be ready by 9:30 tomorrow morning, or do you need later? And then I want every single comma, but we're not going to read through again. We're just going to go to the amendments and look at the amendments. Yes?
We are trying to set up a meeting with our colleagues on waste. I was just wondering whether or not... given the discussion on residue deposits and stockpiles, we should include in this act the definition of waste rather than in that act.
If you get all that work done before, then we can do that, because then we can say that bill is not going to be continued with all the agencies coming from. But let's leave that as a second option. Okay. Don't try and throw down the stock pumping and so on. But I have a feeling that the fixing up the definition of waste is going to take longer than they think. Because they have to go through all the definitions of waste that exist and get it into... What we agreed was, instead of this thing that we give a broad definition of waste to say it's this, blah, blah, whatever it is, then we'd rather put in a schedule what is waste. And there are definitions like domestic waste. There's a whole definition on domestic waste. So you say domestic waste is this. You put all those definitions there. Then the ones that we haven't covered, so plastic, glass, metal, you know, all those things that are waste, you can then list them in a list. But I think it's going to take much longer, because there is going to be a component that has not been, everything that's not listed, you'll have to have a generic skill definition of waste to capture all the rest, to make sure you don't miss anything. I think that's going to take time, because we can't use this definition that they've agreed to with business, because that says that business decides when waste is not waste. Now, I mean, we totally rejected that notion. I mean, you can't. I mean, how will you create any certainty in government if you say that business is going to decide when something is now not going to be used anymore? So you can't do that. So I think that's going to take. So let's use that as option B. If we can't proceed with waste act, we finish the waste definition, then we may consider the putting here, because it is part of all this. Okay. But then I want it to be 100% right, and that will have to be done by yesterday. Almost. You can't know by further than a day or two's time from now. I would rather prefer you guys don't speak up. I mean, that chap, that gentleman in of DMR told us exactly what it is. They don't want that waste. It's the reuse. And I had to, when I spoke to you, I was wondering whether that doesn't actually come under the definition of reuse. Reuse and recovery. And then waste will remain, all the rest remains waste. When I said it, I mean, I'm not specialized enough to know that is correct or not. But it does seem to me that what they're talking about is recovery and reuse, and that is there, that's a part of the definition of waste. That's actually excluded from the definition of waste, that's the reuse thing. Okay. So look at those stuff there. Then the rest of it's all technical, and am I sure, we're going to go through the water stuff now, but are you sure you're going to be ready by 9:30 tomorrow? Full stop, because we're not looking at this thing again. Tomorrow, I need to get after tomorrow a copy that I can give to members to take to their caucuses. You've got it. Now, Ms. Garland. Ms. Garland, you need 10 o'clock tomorrow. 10. 10 o'clock tomorrow. Depending on what we do with the water now. Okay, but 10 o'clock tomorrow. Listen. Ms. Garland, I also want you to draft us a generic slide presentation on what we've done in this legislation. And I will give the opposition again a copy of it so they can then change it as they want to go to their caucuses. Okay. Alright, so that'll be done with all this stuff. Now, the slide presentation, you guys can work when you finish with all the amendments, you can work on it. It'll be in the next week or so, caucuses will meet, so we'll need it relatively soon. What is it? Alright, so that is that. Now, to water. Is water here? Mr. Singh, come sit much closer. Come and sit here so I can just take something and throw it. I will never eat you so far back there. I want to be able to eat you squarely with a tip. Give me that bucket there. That's for me. Mr. Singh here? I can't listen. What's the time? 1 o'clock, okay. Well, we'll start after then. After, do you want to have a lunch, rather, or do we finish this and then finish for the day, or do you want to have lunch and then? I'm easy either way. This should be quick, because if it's done correctly, it's actually the appeals that we're dealing with. Done? That's fine. We want to finish now that we've gone by two, that we finish for the rest of the day. If we finish this, we finish for the rest of the day. Okay? Alright. National Water Amendment Bill. This looks better. They've taken out all the system. That looks good. Okay. And this is the whole act. Where's the letter? And the memo. The memorandum. Huh? Yeah, but there was a memorandum on the purchase. And where's the opinion that that lady did? All right. There should be four documents. They're trying to find you. I think you only got probably two or three of them. They're trying to find the rest. But let's look at this first. The act itself, okay? Remember, this is a committee act now that we're trying to draw. Okay, it says Republic of South Africa National Water Amendment Bill, as introduced in the National Assembly, proposed section 75, prior notice of introduction, published in government gazettes. That's all wrong. Because it was never introduced, and it's a committee bill. So this is wrong. But the thing, you leave that, you don't look for it, you come and sit and listen. We're starting with the bill. The colour sheet is obviously wrong. But there we have to put You have to say, basically you have to say a committee bill, whatever words we use in Parliament to say a committee bill. If you go and look at those justice bills, you'll find what words they use there. So that is wrong, that has to be changed, okay? Then, standard in note, as usual, let's come back to the long title, be it enacted by the Parliament of the Republic as follows: amendment of section 1 of section 36 or 98, section 1 of the National Water Act, July 1st, July 1st, the subsequent definition of department, and then that is there, it's quite simple, there shouldn't be a problem with that from everyone. But there's a few of the definition of minister, and then minister is okay. Then section 26 is hereby amended by the addition of the following subsection: regulations made in terms of this Act or any other Act of Parliament that may have the effect of amending the provisions of the agreement referred to in section 163A. Section 163A of what? Have we in the Water Act referred to the agreement? Oh. Okay, must be made by the minister in concurrence with the minister. So that is just the same clause on the regulations. Now, does the Water Act have the 30-day thing on this column? So how do you want to put a clause like that? It hasn't got that. You must send that clause of 30 days into the Water Act, okay? Mr. Singh, what this is that we in this committee, we don't approve regulations that at least 30 days before you put them in the Government Gazette, we ask you to table it in Parliament so that at least we can be aware of it. Okay? So just get that same clause in the environment legislation, just put it in here as well, okay? The 30 days there. Then clause 3, amendment of section 41. Section 41, the provision is amended by the substitution for subsection 4 of the following subsection. The responsible authority may direct that any assessment under subsection 282 must comply with the requirements contained in regulations made under the applicable sections of National Environmental Management Act. The responsible authority may direct that any assessment under 282 must comply with the requirements contained in regulations made under the applicable sections. Explain what this is, because now this is referring back to environment. What is this?
Section 41.
Under water use licenses?
In the Natural Water Act, it's a problem about this environmental conservation. So we are replacing that with the it's just an update of the National Water Act.
In the National Water Act, in section 282, which is not here, there you create a provision that there must be an assessment done. And that assessment, this what this clause says, is that assessment must be done in terms of the requirements in a NEMA Act. So is that what you intended?
Yeah, because the original wording in section 26 of the environment.
You're making it that it's that second. Okay, all right, okay. Just that I don't know these things, that's why I'm asking questions. I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong, I don't know what is happening in these acts. By the addition of the following subsections, the minister must align, integrate the process of consideration of a water license with the time frames and processes applicable to applications for licenses, permits, or rights for prospecting, exploration, mining, just in terms of the Mineral Act and environmental authorizations. So they must integrate their time frames and their processes with those two processes. That was that clause there. Notwithstanding the provision of section 1.8, any applicant for water license contract subsection 5, which is above one, who is aggrieved by a decision of the responsible authority may lodge an appeal to the minister against the decision. So if you're unhappy with a decision, when you apply for a water license, you're unhappy with the decision by a responsible authority, in terms of the other, you may lodge that appeal to our minister, okay? All right, you get that?
What if we change the original provision of the appeal to the water?
So you say notwithstanding 148, which is the water tribunal, any applicant can lodge that. Okay, lovely, that's the link. That sounds right. Section 148 of the principal act hereby amended by the subsection by including subject to section 16. What is foot 16? Is that what we've dealt with? Subject to 41.6. Even 41.6 just the clause above this one. Which now says goes to the minister. So subject to the minister making the decision against the decision, subject to against the decision responsible for an application lies on it, or any other application implies by the applicant by any other person who is currently supposed to be objection. Okay. So that's just making it that the top of the clause above it that applies, 41.6. It's just the clause above it, okay? That's just a technical. And then the same thing with the next one. Because remember, all these clauses are made applicable to tribunals. So if you now are taking it out of tribunals, you have to keep on saying subject to 41.6. So to make sure it's the minister that does it, okay? So this is the technical things they've done. And then amendment to this act. Any proposed amendment to this act that may affect all the many, may affect something wrong. That may have the effect of amending the provision of the agreement must be subject to concurrence between the minister and the other two ministers, and any intervention contemplated by paragraph 8 that may lead to the amendment of the provision of the agreement must be tabled in Parliament prior to any steps be taken to effect those changes, and Parliament may express its view on the book. So it's exactly the same as the previous. Is all these words exactly the same? Okay, so we've already approved that clause in the environment. So we've read through all that, we don't have to read again. And then the arrangement of sections of this principle is hereby amended after. Why is that under shorter? Should be a separate section. Huh? So it must be a heading and then a separate section, okay? And then. Okay? And then the short title is the act. This act is called the National Water Amendment Act 24 and come into operation, not a date fixed, 3 months. Don't we want it to come into operation at the same time as the other one, the environment one? So you and don't say 3 months, say on the same date as the legislation, and you give the name of that other legislation. Okay? So it kicks in the same time, those two. We're happy with that? You know what to do? So, not 3 months, just comes into operation on the same date as clause, whatever, in that other act, okay? The DI Act. You got it? So there's a few technical changes, and then the front page needs to be changed, okay? But otherwise, that looks good. I don't know the whole Water Act, but it looks like you guys have gone through it and checked where you had to make these amendments. So that looks good. Then there's a memorandum. Those changes will be made tomorrow. Then there's a memorandum of objects. You got it? Copy? No, they haven't got mine. Right, I'll let Chileko will make you a copy soon. There's this, you know, the memorandum of objects that has to come to a vote. This is those, it just explains the whole thing. I'm not going to read through this, Mr. Singh and Ms. Garlic. You will personally be held responsible. You will be keel-hauled and walking plank of a South African battleship if you get this wrong. Okay? Everyone heard me that is the punishment. You guys must read through that because that comes part of the act, okay? And make 100% sure you've covered what we want to cover. We're not going to read through that now. Then, there's another document. Oh. You know, we asked for all these amendments to be put into the main act and the relevant section. Now, they've not done the whole act because I made it too thick. But they have made these amendments. They'll make sure that whatever they change here is also included here. They made it in the broader act that these should even start fits together a little bit with section 40 and 41. So I'm not going to go through that either. is a committee bill. Have they got this document? You don't have this document. So I'm going to read it to you. So you're going to get a copy immediately after here. You know, when you're introducing a committee bill, you have to ask for permission from the House. And you attach these. Now, this is the document that Ms. van der Merwe and Mrs. Singh, and I imagine hopefully Ms. Gollett also looked at it, has drafted for us as the explanation for it. Now, the only thing that may have been a little bit difficult was the issue of consultation. But my view has been that this amendment, which is a technical amendment of allowing minister and not the appeals to technically where this amendment takes place, that arose out of public hearings. So I'm of the view that you don't then have to have further public hearings on it. In any case, to be quite honest with you, the department has been consulting, I don't know how many months already, around the whole review of the tribunal and that something. So I have assumed, therefore, you don't have to have further public hearings on this. This is completely technical. And it arose out of consultations that have been okay. So that's the only thing here that someone may ask a question about, and I've tried to explain it the best I can. Okay, it says to Honourable Sisulu from me. Yeah, that's nice. Why don't we say committee? Okay, chairperson of the committee. So, okay, I'll take responsibility. I'll be keelhauled and dragged under the ship of a big battleship. Good luck in South Africa, everybody has a big battleship, one of the corvettes. Alright, the Portfolio Committee on Water and Environmental Affairs is hereby requesting the permission of the House in terms of Rule 230 for the introduction of the National Water Amendment Bill in the House. I'm not going to say my portfolio committee, I'm saying their portfolio committee. The portfolio committee and the portfolio committee for mineral resources have been engaged since 2013 in a series of joint meetings to finalize alignment processes of all legislative instruments, including existing legislation, amendment and to answer ordinances in the form of regulations, give effect to the agreement concluded in 2008 between three departments, namely Department of Environment, During these joint meetings, it was resolved in 203 to convert these agreements into legislative amendments to current legislation being administered by the three departments to integrate and synchronize all procedures in the different legislation to pave the way for application of mine rental laws in mining areas for well-coordinated structures in a synchronized manner. These legislative amendments include the Mineral Resources Act, the regulations, the third national land mining and regulation, which are currently in the national legislation. But the Department of Water joined this process at the latest age. The National Order Act has to be amended substantially, not substantially. Needed a few technical, not to say not substantial, I mean it's not substantial law, and a few technical amendments. Just before I go further than that, I do think that agreement, when the speaker reads this, you wouldn't understand at all what these agreements are about. I think you guys must set out a bit more detail. What it is we're trying to do, and that is to synchronize and harmonize all the legislation around application for mining licenses, plus all other applications that go with that, to align them to make sure that all those processes and timeframes are now synchronized, and to make sure, therefore, that application for mining, if all the processes follow, should take more than 390 days. If you don't explain that, then they don't know that it's important to have this legislation. Okay, so you guys must elaborate a little bit on that there, okay? And you particularly have. In fact, if you put that definition of agreement and explain that more this year, then there's already a huge explanation of this kind of thing. And then, as I said, it must be technical amendments. In order to achieve the goal of integrated authorization for mineral resources, environmental impact assessment, and water use authorization, due to time constraints and discipline finalizing bill during the first term of Parliament, portfolio deemed it prudent to initiate the committee bill to effect certain amendments to the National Water Act. To submit sent to yourself seeking permission for tabling as a committee bill in the National Assembly in terms of rules that these are amendments to the relevant sections of the National Water Act seek to make provision for the application of water laws in mining areas in terms of attaining a reclaim frame for the process of water use organization to make provision for return of the process to the minister rather than the kind of the person being ruled to visit at this committee. Now there you must say that the minister has been fully part of these consultation processes in full agreement that matters should be proceeded with in this manner. Let's say that, okay? And that's the third thing if I read this, I'll say, what does the minister say? is envisaged that this committee will initiate by the portfolio committee will achieve the objective of integrated water use authorization in a short period of time. Furthermore, it's the considered view of the portfolio committee that the bill will provide relief for applicants for water use authorization in a short period of time and will also enable applicants to follow a shorter and more cost effective. Now, we know if we say anything about times. I'm now putting a whole paragraph here explaining what I explained about the time frame. To say that the rules provide for consultation, that is obviously meant for where a new bill is tabled in Parliament and needs to be fully consulted. In this case, that is not what happened. Out of the consultation process, this technical amendment, the possibility of this technical arisen, and therefore we are the view that there's no further consultation. So you must put the whole thing on the time and the consultation here. Furthermore, to consider the view that the bill is provided. Okay. Purpose of the bill. The purpose of the bill is to make specific amendments to Section 41 of the draft, which deals with what is like to provide an integrated lighting system which aligns the time plan to appeals for the design to enable the minister to be an appeal authority only for appeals for what you rely on applications on the result. This tells the departure from the current appeal system which is working on providing the means that all other appeals will be. Now, I think you must say there, when you say this is a departure from the present system, say it may also be noted that the department has embarked on a review policy review process and the whole system of appeals under the Water Tribunal has been found to be quite significantly flawed and alternatives are going to be provided for in future. So that, you know, if someone reads this, they can actually see that you're not just taking it away from the Water Tribunal, that there's also a problem with that at the moment. And until Parliament has decided on a policy for what is the future going to be, I mean, we should say that here, okay? This means that all other appeals will be adjudicated with the Water Tribunal. See that, we'll explain that later. That as the law stands now, but if the review were to proceed as it is, then the appeals will probably not be dealt with by the Water Tribunal. So you must spell that out. Because otherwise, you know, it looks like we take away something from the Water Tribunal, which is not true. Water Tribunal is complete dysfunction. We have been told by you guys that you wanted to get rid of that or to make it a completely different structure, a completely different vehicle through which you do it, which then it may again be, but I think that must be spelled out a bit.
The policy provisions of the department, one of those 12 key policy positions is exactly.
So then you must say that. Just say there has been a review and one of the key policy decisions already been accepted by Cabinet is that whatever it is. And then we leave that so that we know that if anyone reads it, they know that we're not just taking something away, that there's going to be a fundamental change in the procedures if you proceed that way that Cabinet agreed, okay? So that must just be spelled a bit more. Because it says this means that all appeals will be adjudicated by the Water Tribunal. Now, here. That is like heavily in the other direction. These amendments are necessary for the integrated licensing system. Object of the bill. The bill seeks to amend the national order, correct the dated references, provide for alignment with the process, provide the appointment of the minister of the authority, amend the authority of Water Tribunal and authority in certain circumstances. I'm not sure if you need that thing about the Water Tribunal. But that's a negative, not a positive. I mean, you've already said you're giving the minister the power to do that, so applaud about that. Financial implications, recommendations necessary to align the National Water Act, which deals with water use license applications, specifically in small countries and field that the right to integrate license system between the parts and that. The National Water Amendment Bill proposes the departure of the current approach system, the field to water being right in terms of that. That also you can try and tighten up on it in the other thing. Given the time was in the fact the committee building on the work already done in terms of that, on which both the change in consultation to place the portfolio to do this, the commission asked to initiate the National Water Policy Emergency, copy of the draft of the memorandum or statute 2, the National Assembly rule that it has to be suspended, the portfolio committee. That rule is the time consultation thing, and that the portfolio committee be given permission to place the bill on the Parliament's website 5 days only and decide, why do you want to do this? Stop off the website. you'll publish it on the website. Make all these amendments tomorrow, 10 o'clock, after we finish with that, we'll go through these. Then all I want to look at is the amendment that you made in here on these documents, okay? In the meantime, the four documents, if the committee doesn't have them, please make sure they've got them. There is one other document I haven't read, so I'm going to read to you now. Ms. Van der Merwe, who is the parliamentary law advisor, she has written an opinion, I'm not sure why. What is this opinion about? She's disagreeing with all this. She's happy with it. All right, so Ms. Van der Merwe has done a little opinion or a memo, whatever you want to call it, explaining all these things and why she's happy with it. So I'm going to send that as well to you just to read it before tomorrow and see if you're happy with it. I'll also read it in the meantime. So all five of these documents you need to make sure members of the all five of them, okay? And then tomorrow we'll only look at the amended parts here. All right, you fully understand the proceedings? I want again that be done by both of you so that you make sure all the wording in that are aligned, eh? Alright? And if necessary, you guys may consult Ms. Van der Merwe before tomorrow to say this is what we've done about all this stuff. I mean, I imagine this some place, for example, you'll have to find out for them what to put in. Okay, fine. Alright, everyone happy with that? That seems to be technically right now, and we can just go through it. So, we'll meet tomorrow at 10. We'll go through all this, and we'll, by the end of tomorrow, David will be able to give us these documents in a form of something you can take to a caucus. Then Ms. Goddard will start doing, on both these bills, a slide presentation to explain, and I've already said what I want, is you must explain what the legal position was originally from 208, that that came to law, that the two ministers made an agreement and it now provides for this, that we've gone through all the legislation for all three departments and all the things, and what we are doing is now this, and then you, it's only like the amendments that have like really got some effect. Like, I mean, you made a technical amendment to one of even many hundreds of, well not hundreds, but a few. So if you're making a technical amendment to something, I don't want that on the slide, I mean, but if you're making the amendment for the inclusion of financial provision, for example, that's substantial. You know, you'll say a little bit about that under the financial stuff. Then, of course, the intervention clauses, the non-amendment clauses, those are, of course, substantial things that we want to talk about. That we, in waste, have now, whatever we've done waste, is allow the department. The part that you reuse doesn't come under waste, but the others remain. You know, those kind of main things are the things, right? The technical things, you can just have a paragraph at the end and say, there's a whole host of other technical amendments and consequential amendments which we don't deal with. So, I mean, I definitely don't go to my corporate to deal with all the technical amendments. But because, of course, once you've got the slide presentation, the other parties can, of course, add, if they want to add technical amendments, that's fine. You understand what to do there. And that's for both equals and so on. Then, as a possibility, and I leave it no higher than a possibility, if Mark fully finalizes the definition on waste in the next day or two, fully finalizes, then we would consider whether we'll put that amendment under all the other amendments of waste that we've got here to make this thing a bit more clearer. And it will also help us with this splitting of the other thing. But that, I'm not holding up the bill in any sense whatsoever. It must be a clause that's brought to me, I must be 100% happy with it. Even there, when we finalize this bill, and maybe then in that slide presentation, one of the slides we do, you say we are looking at the possibility of taking the definition of waste, which is in the present bill and waste that we're processing, not to deal with the metal because we may not have the time to include it in here, but that is only a possibility at this stage. Put it in the slide today. Okay. Alright. Everyone happy? Then we'll meet tomorrow at 10. When we finish with this, then we finish. We won't meet on Thursday then. we'll have that all. The waste thing, as I say, is up in the air at this stage, all the other waste stuff, so, and it seems to me it's not worth up at this stage trying to enter with another bill like water research, whatever it is. I've only agreed that I'll start with water research if there's enough time after we finish this. If that doesn't happen, we won't deal with that bill. So basically you're saying we won't deal with that bill. Okay. All right. Committee happy with that as for the procedures. Then I don't know when your caucus is in that are. Let's provisionally keep next Tuesday, the Tuesday of the State of the Nation. Let's take, we'll say, and I do this because of Pete Matebe. He reprimanded me very strongly that a committee doesn't meet on the day before the State of the Nation because people apparently, and I never knew about this, but they don't do their hair, and they must get their clothes ready for the State of the Nation. And because of that, my committee can't meet because of that. So that Wednesday will have all open, but keep open the Tuesday, just in case. But I'll let you know before you go home this week, Thursday or Friday, I'll let you know whether we're sitting on the Tuesday. Just keep it open for this. Okay. Thank you. That's the meeting adjourned. Oh, they need lunch, I think.